Blog Talk Radio.
And the divine comes through again. According to this article, Stephen D'Antuono, I believe you pronounce his name that way, the man who was previously in charge of the Bureau's Washington field office, has spilled the beans behind closed doors to the House Judiciary Committee. He's let the cat out of the bag, he's the fat lady, and he is singing. That is the wrong metaphor, but you get the idea. Anyway, I'm going to read this explosive article in one moment. First, of course, I have to sell you something.
The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 1970s when the dollar decoupled from gold. And the government seems bent on continuing this tradition. From now until the next election, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. This means one thing. The security of your future and your family's future, it's all in your hands. Make sure you freeze the value of the wealth that you are holding. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Gold is the one asset that has proven to withstand recession, inflation, and just...
Headlined, the FBI lost count of how many paid informants were at the Capitol on January 6th and later performed an audit to figure out the exact number, says an ex-official. The FBI had so many paid informants at the Capitol on January 6, 2021 that it lost track of the number and had to perform a later audit to determine exactly how many confidential human sources run by different FBI field offices were present that day. A former assistant director of the Bureau has told lawmakers. At least one informant was communicating with his FBI handler as he entered the Capitol, according to Stephen D'Antuono, formerly in charge of Bureau's Washington field office. D'Antuono has testified behind closed doors to the House Judiciary Committee that his office was aware before the riot that some of their informants would attend the Stop the Steal rally thrown by former President Donald Trump, but he only learned after the fact that the informants run by other field offices also were present, along with others who had participated of their own accord. The Washington field office had to ask FBI headquarters to do a poll or about something to people saying, were any CHSs involved, confidential human sources, he said, so that they could get a handle on the scale of the FBI's spying operations on the Capitol that day. We started getting responses back from FBI headquarters, added D'Antuono, which helped identify which field offices had planted confidential informants in the crowd. One paid informant from the Kansas City field office was at the Capitol as the crowd surged inside and allegedly was in communication with his FBI handler while they were in the crowd, I think, saying that they were going in, according to the former Bureau brass. They were trying to stop some of the action happening, and they left or whatnot. That sounds like BS to me. That sounds like he just made that up on the spot to try to make the confidential informants look like they were the good guys, when in reality they were probably agents provocateur. They were probably agitators. Let's keep going. Asked how many informants the audit discovered were in the crowd that day, D'Antuono would only say a handful. Look, the truth is we've actually known about this for years. I made several videos about the fake protesters in the crowd.
It ain't patriots up there anymore. If you go look, they look like Antifa. They don't look like me. They don't look like you guys. I see a lot of women. I see a lot of kids. Get your families home. Get out of here.
Now, these videos have been censored, shadow banned, and even deleted by YouTube, you know, because I'm a conspiracy theorist or something. But look, now we have testimonial evidence confirming that this is absolutely true. We conservatives, we have been harassed by social media companies for so long. We've been targeted for shadow bans and censorship. We have been proved right once again. But we actually already had confirmation. It just wasn't this explicit. Almost 1 year ago, Director Ray was asked about this, and he revealed the truth very clearly by refusing to answer the question.
Director Ray, did the FBI have confidential human sources embedded within the January 6th protesters on January 6th of 2021?
Well, Congressman, as I'm sure you can appreciate, I have to be very careful about what I can say about when.
Even now, because that's what you told us 2 years ago.
May I finish? About when we do and do not, and where we have and have not used confidential human sources. But to the extent that there's a suggestion, for example, that the FBI's confidential human sources or FBI employees in some way instigated or orchestrated January 6th, that's categorically false.
Did you have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters inside the Capitol on January the 6th prior to the doors being opened?
Again, I had to be very careful.
It should be a no. Can you not tell the American people? No, we did not have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters positioned inside the Capitol.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
You should not read anything into my decision not to share information.
Director Ray,
gentlemen's
time has expired.
Oh, yeah, we're sorry. We can't be transparent with the American people about us targeting you and sending you to prison because, oh, it would compromise our sources and methods and all that kind of nonsense. Look, Christopher Wray, you cannot target the American people, innocent people, and then hide behind some kind of bureaucratic red tape BS. I think Christopher Wray needs to go to prison, to be perfectly honest. That's what I think. And look, we don't even know how many other agencies were using confidential human sources or what I would call agents provocateur in the crowd. We don't know. We don't know. We only know that there's FBI guys. These are the only people that we have confirmation of from this kind of evidence, this witness testimony. However, we do have body cam footage from a couple of police officers.
Help him up! Help him up! Help him out!
Hold on, wait!
Push him up! Push him up! Help me break it!
Come on, come on, come on, let's go. Leave that, leave it, leave it. Everyone, something now.
And, you know, this is all sounding more and more like the Whitmer case all of those years ago. I believe that everybody that's currently convicted of crimes from the January 6th protest, these people were all victims of entrapment. And look, there's a much more important question here, a much bigger question. Were these operatives actually agitators, instigators, as I like to call them, agents provocateur? We know that Ray Epps was one, and we have called out the absurdity of the government hiding his agent provocateur status from the very start. Now, nobody knows for sure whether Ray Epps was working for the FBI or the CIA or the NSA or some other agency, whether it was for Hillary or Pelosi or the deep state or maybe even a third-party group or somebody else in conjunction with all these people. And we absolutely need that question answered. What we know is that he was an agitator. Clearly, he was working against Donald Trump, against the protesters that day, and against the American people in order to create the illusion of an insurrection so that Donald Trump will be prohibited from running for president ever again. What's funny is that because Epps was identified in public and called out, he has just been indicted on the weakest charge ever issued for any of the J6 protesters, a slap on the wrist disorderly conduct charge in order to pretend that he has been charged just like every other January 6th protester. It is laughable. But look, the big question here is how many other Ray Epps's were there, and were any of the window breakers or any of those who scuffled with police or engaged in acts of vandalism or stole things, were any of them these agitators, were any of these people FBI guys? Because all of these relatively insignificant acts, these are the things that caused gullible Democrat voters to accept the term insurrection. And the term insurrection is what got Trump impeached and now indicted, and it's what they're trying to use as justification to keep him off the ballot in 2024. I mean, this was no insurrection, obviously. But if we can prove that it was FBI folks or agitators brought in from elsewhere who committed all these minor crimes, we could prove that it truly was a peaceful protest. And moreover, we could prove that any appearance of an insurrection was orchestrated by the FBI. Exactly what we've been speculating about for the past 2 years. This was a psyop. It was a psychological operation specifically designed to convince the American people that Donald Trump incited an insurrection. And it was done specifically to prohibit him from running for president ever again in America. And now we finally have some concrete witness testimony confirming this. Hopefully, the truth about that day will soon be fully exposed, and we can hold the perpetrators of this psyop accountable. But then again, I'm not holding my breath. Okay, now go buy my T-shirts. Go buy.
All right, Mr. Reagan there. How you doing, Pianki?
Pianki!
And we have Cinnamon.
Dog Pat, how you doing?
Groovy! I'm doing groovy, buddy. I'm just...
grooving! On a Sunday afternoon.
All right. And we'll be singing later on tonight. That's for damn sure. We always do. Oh, I tell you what, Ray Epps got a trespassing, a jaywalking charge against
him.
Oh,
he pled guilty so they would so he could have a lighter sentence.
Lighter sentence. We got people that's charged and got 12, 13 years that weren't even there. The guy was in a hotel room. It's amazing. Just freaking amazing. We charged him. You know, he got a charge against him. You know, come on.
He still got a lawsuit against Tucker Carlson and Fox News.
Yes, he does. How you doing there, Lori Ann, Lucid Libertarian? Best show on Blog Talk Radio on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock on the West Coast, 9 o'clock on the East Coast, and get there.
Okay, get there.
That's all because it's a great show. We got a lot of people in the switchboard. Push one on your keypad, and we will try to get you on. Well, we will get you on. I won't try. I will get you on. Go ahead, Cinnamon.
This is kind of a, like, 90-degree turn, but we can go back to this. But, okay, the obese woman that charged a fellow white student was talking about what she was going to do to the BLM protesters on her college. You know, she was going to run them over, that kind of stuff.
I have no idea.
And then she came out and said, never mind then.
No. Start. I mean,
okay.
Who's lady? What?
Two college students.
Okay.
One was black and is enormous. She is very much obese.
Okay.
Yes. She said that this white girl on the same college campus, she overheard her saying what she was going to do to the BLM protesters if they ever came near her, and got her doxxed, and she pretty much got run out of college, pretty much kicked her out, disciplinary. And then she was later said, I may have misheard what she said.
The bigger lady said she might have misheard?
What the white girl said. I might have misheard what the white girl said.
I got
so. So she ruined this girl's life and then didn't apologize, did no apology at all. She just said, I might have misheard her, maybe. I don't know. And just let it go. She is now an influencer and Dove, the beauty bar, women's beauty bar, has teamed up with her to be their kind of influencer.
Are you talking
about hold on.
The bigger lady is the one that's the influencer, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
The large black woman is the influencer.
All right.
She's signing up for body positivity, and she's going to be one of Dove's influencers. But a whole bunch of people remember her getting this other girl kicked out of college for no reason and kind of ruining her life for no reason. So they're now she's got a whole bunch of people snarking at her a lot. And so she's got the police chief's personal phone number in her hometown.
Just in case.
Before this happened. Before this happened.
Hmm.
And then now that she's, you know, the influencer signed on with Dove, more people are coming out and going, hey, I remember you, this is what you did. I'm not buying Dove. So she's afraid for her life now. And her sister is got a GoFundMe to get her to a safe place where she can feel safe all the time.
Oh.
I don't know if they're going to buy her a mega mansion where she can be surrounded by gates and guards or what the hell the whole point is on it. But because of the Ray Epps thing, suing Tucker Carlson and Fox News for ruining his life is what he said. By doing false things. Now that she's got a lucrative
contract
with Dove, now that poor girl that got kicked out of college can turn around and sue her for and her GoFundMe for ruining her life.
Wow.
just a thought. It's a good thought, but it's a thought.
Yep. Let me get Lorianne on. Lorianne.
Okay. You can get.
Go ahead, Cinnamon. I thought you were.
Hello,
gonna...
hello.
Get back
happy
to the other
Saturday.
Stuff.
Hello, Cinnamon.
Hi, Lorianne. Sorry I missed your show Sunday. It was a long, bad day.
I was there. I was there, but my computer froze completely up. Just froze completely up on Blog Talk, but I could go anywhere else. But I listened to a lot of the show, and then it kind of just froze, and I stayed in a chat room, but it was froze. But what I heard was
weird.
Damn good show. Again, as usual. He had the SARS.
Mine was the beginning of a week-long illness.
Yes, we've been sick most of the week, both of us.
Stupid auto.
Like a cold or flu or COVID
kind of a low-grade flu, and I think a lot of it's got to do with the immune suppressant medication that I have to take for my arthritis. And his is because he's old. It takes him longer to heal, too.
Hello.
Or it could
Hello.
Be we're, or,
yeah.
or it could be
just
we're just reinfecting each other.
Just because I'm 13 years older than you, that means I'm 13 years more wiser than you, dear.
Yeah.
Smart
yeah.
ass.
Or, you know,
you
could
be wiser, but still
thing.
Be, you know,
old.
It's an old man crinkling
old.
Away.
Wiser. Budweiser. Well, I noticed Pianchi didn't stand up for me. Okay. All right. Ray Epps.
Well, Donnie.
Yeah, never mind.
Done a good job.
Yeah, I don't need you now. I don't need you now, buddy.
Yes.
I needed you about 5 minutes ago.
Well, I'm cooking. But Cinnamon's done a good job.
Sticking
of describing that racist that told that lie on their white girl. And I hope that the parents sue the hell out of the school and everybody else.
Yeah,
that's a condoning.
That's a shame. That happens. That is a shame.
Yep, I would boycott Dove if I use them, but I don't. I use a different brand. So,
well,
that was pure racism.
Well, then if you're gonna boycott Dove, Pianchi, go ahead.
Hello.
What'd you say, Mark?
I
was just going to say, if you're going to boycott Dove, you've got to boycott everything Unilever. And if you look up Unilever, how much
crap
falls under Unilever, it's absolutely insane. From, you know, everything from ice cream to they own Suave, like shampoo and conditioners and stuff. I mean, you almost can't walk down an aisle in a grocery store without something Unilever being there. You know, it's crazy.
You're right. And behind Unilever, there's a lot of Jewish influence and control, too, by the way. Have been for a while.
I didn't know any of that.
The kind of boycott that they're doing right now is just against Dove, just like they boycotted Bud Light, not Bud.
Well... You know, I hate boycotting anything, but maybe Dove will do something about this now that they have to know what this lady did.
Right.
Maybe they've got to be something in her contract that would say, you know, you did this or that, and you break your contract, and that's on all contracts. So maybe. Dove can get out of it if they want to. They might not want to. They might have
already.
Well, they
should file a lawsuit against her and put liens on her future reparation payments, if there's any.
Oh,
well,
there you go.
We'll all move to California if that's the case. I'm going to be a black man. Lorianne Cinnamon's going to be my black woman.
Yeah, I will identify as black if I can get $1,000 or whatever in reparations. I'll move to California for that, at least temporarily.
Yeah.
And then get the hell out of there.
Yeah, just enough to get our checks. But once they tax that check, we'll probably end up owing them money. That's the problem.
Well, see, then, then you just got to come in as an illegal migrant.
Yeah.
And I'll get my money that way.
Okay. 734, is this Adrian?
Yes. Good evening, everyone. How's everyone this evening?
How you doing, Adrian?
Good.
Adrian. Everybody's doing groovy.
And you, my dear, how are you doing?
I'm hanging in.
You better be.
I'm trying. Yeah, we got to include Adrian in on the lawsuit, too, because she was harmed when that girl said it. Don't include me in on y'all's bullshit. See, because I've been listening. I've been here since the beginning of the show. Nope. Mm-mm.
She
no,
ain't got...
Adrian don't want to be involved in
any
none of the... No. Mm-mm. If I'm going to file a lawsuit, believe me, I'm going to file it on my own. And believe me, I'm going to win my suit.
If you're going to file it, you're going to win it. There you go. That's the way to look at it.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to have all the facts and shit before I go in.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't going to be no hearsay. This one wrote, I want more than one person. I want witnesses.
Witnesses, you bet.
Yep.
Yep.
That's why I don't pay a lot of attention to when people start talking and they heard this, they heard that. That's nice.
Well, sometimes it's right. Sometimes it's true.
Yeah, but see, you haven't really presented me with any concrete, substantial evidence.
Well,
and it's like,
we're talking about right now, but
try not to be so judgmental about a lot of things, and so I just I can learn some stuff.
But the school should have got more information. See, it was another case on Title IX, where as before, male athletes could be charged with something that they would have to run the gamut in finding out the information. So this school acted hurriedly, haphazardly, without doing an investigation, and ruined that student's life.
Well, let's add another word to that: a proper investigation. See, because they did some kind of little BS. Investigation. They didn't, you know, really go into the depth that they should have. But this is not a first time. I mean, this has been happening for a number of years involving the races. And that's the part that bothers me. It troubles me because this division is going to continue to go on. Like, we can't come together as a people, just as human beings. And incidentally, yes, I do use the
James. James, this is a host named James. She was substituting, and she made reference to Boys in the Hood movie, and she got fired for using the word hood.
Wow.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, I did see that.
I remember that movie.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Whoa.
Sort of. I love it. Now, I guess if everybody's seen Zelensky, you know, begging for more money.
Jesus.
How about
in Canada right now.
Oh, is he begging in Canada right now? Well,
he's going to make his rounds.
This man has no pride whatsoever. And we don't have...
Oh, yeah, and by the way...
Go ahead.
You can't. You absolutely cannot require accountability for where that money is going either. You just got to hand it right on over to them.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. Exactly.
I don't like the fact that he demands. It's like he's demanding, and it's like, how the hell are you going to demand something from somebody that's got it? You ain't got it.
You ain't got it.
You can't make demands.
No.
Oh, that's what they're in Poland. That's one of the things because.
Oh, Poland's pissed.
They think.
Poland's
well, pissed. It's all about. They think it's all about the grain thing. It wasn't exactly that. Poland says, we've given you a third of our ammunition. We need to restock us first.
Yeah.
We need to do the same thing here.
We need to restock our own supplies.
Yeah. We're getting some feedback, you guys. Who's got a phone that's feedback?
I'm going on mute.
No. Was it? It is Adrian. I can't understand why her phone does that.
It's Xfinity. I told you before.
Yeah, you did.
They're listening in on me.
Yeah, it's the UAW. That's who's listening. That's who's listening. Wow. Yeah. I don't understand how that happens. No other phone does that.
Yeah, it might be this rural connection out here.
Yeah,
you know?
you are in the sticks.
Damn. Yeah, remember, we always lose power out here, too, so.
Oh, yeah.
You just never know.
Yes, and, you know, we live out in the sticks, too, pretty much, and we have not lost power this year, which is pretty amazing. Now, I don't know if you guys seen Rand Paul or heard Rand Paul. He was on the floor, and he was talking about what we had just talked about.
I rise to put the leadership.
Yeah. Oh, are you talking about that clip that I sent you? It's pretty epic.
It might be the same. I don't know. I haven't been to Facebook, but you need to start sending stuff to my email because I don't go to Facebook a lot.
President of the United States on notice. I will not consent to any expedited passage of any spending bill that provides any more American aid to Ukraine. It's as if no one has noticed that we have no extra money to send to Ukraine. Our deficit this year will exceed $1.5 trillion. Borrowing money from China to send it to Ukraine makes no sense. It's not as if we have some sort of rainy day fund sitting around, trillions of dollars in a pot of money, and we're just going to send that to Ukraine. We're going to borrow it. When we borrow it and create new money to pay for that borrowing, we create the inflation that is plaguing our economy. Since the beginning of Russia's war in Ukraine, the American taxpayers provided Ukraine with $113 billion. Over the 583 days of war, between February 24, 2022, and the end of the month, that averages $6.8 billion per month or $223 million per day. There's a lot of things that we need to fix in our country before we borrow money to try to perpetuate a war in another country. When will the aid requests end? When will the war end? Can someone explain what victory in Ukraine looks like? President Biden certainly can't. His administration has failed to articulate a clear strategy or objective in this war, and Ukraine's long-awaited counteroffensive has failed to make meaningful gains in the East. With no clear end in sight, it looks increasingly like Ukraine will be yet another endless quagmire funded by the American taxpayer. That's why public support for the war is waning. A CNN poll from August shows that a majority of Americans now oppose Congress authorizing additional funding to Ukraine. And now there are those in the Senate who would refuse to listen to these voices, voices coming from a war-weary nation, and who would hold the federal government hostage by inserting $24 billion more for Ukraine. They're talking about saying, The only way government stays open, the only way we avoid a shutdown is by shoveling more American taxpayer dollars to Ukraine. They're going to link keeping the government open with more money to Ukraine, and I'm here to say that I'm not going to agree to it, and I will not let them shut down the government simply because they want to send more of your hard-earned tax dollars to Ukraine. Either the American people fund an endless war in Ukraine, or the Uniparty threatens to shut down the government. This is a clear dereliction of duty, and I will not stand for it. Colleagues, as representatives of the American people, you should not stand for it either. The bill that comes for us should be about funding our government, not somebody else's government. I will not give consent to a bill that includes funding for Ukraine in keeping our government open. As elected officials, we have an obligation to pursue a foreign policy that advances the security and prosperity of our country. Funneling billions of dollars that have to be borrowed into the meat grinder of eastern Ukraine does neither. The longer this conflict continues, the greater the risk that miscalculation or purposeful escalation draws the United States into direct conflict with Russia. Russia's military may have a bloody nose, but Moscow still maintains the largest nuclear arsenal in the world. Let's not pretend that the U.S. involvement in this war comes without risks. If that's not bad enough, we lack effective oversight mechanisms to ensure that the hard-earned American tax dollars don't fall prey to waste, fraud, and abuse. For over a year now, I have been asking for a special inspector general to make sure they're not stealing our money. We've had one in Afghanistan, and his team of economists and technicians have overseen and found billions of dollars worth of waste that they've saved. We need the same thing in Ukraine, a special inspector general to make sure they're not stealing our money. When that has come before a vote in the Senate, the majority party says, no, we just want to spend the money. We don't care. Some Republicans have gone along with this as well, and they have voted against an inspector general. It is a terrible abuse of our spending authority to spend money overseas in a war and not make sure that they're not stealing it. So in addition to the colossal cost of the war, we end up paying a corruption tax. Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries on the planet, maybe second only to Russia. Corruption runs deep in Ukraine, and there's plenty of evidence that it has run rampant since Russia's invasion. As President Zelensky landed in New York earlier this week, we learned that corruption concerns in Ukraine's Ministry of Defense resulted in the firing of six deputy defense ministers. This comes 2 weeks after the firing of Defense Minister Oleksiy Reznikov, who was removed after it was discovered that the Ministry of Defense had mishandled military contracts. Last month, Zelensky fired all 24 regional military recruitment chiefs because they were, quote, involved in illegal activities, including enrichment. Last October, we learned that U.S. shipment of grenade launchers, machine guns, rifles, bulletproof vests, and thousands of rounds of ammunition were ending up in the hands of criminal gangs and weapons traffickers posing as humanitarian organizations. And what did the Senate do? They voted against a special inspector general to make sure they're not stealing our money. What are we doing? Is this fair to the American people?
Hell no.
Millions of Americans are struggling each day to make ends meet. Millions of Americans are struggling to provide for their families and put food on the table. Can we honestly look our constituents in the eye and tell them that this is a good investment of their dollars?
Rand, let me tell you something. They don't care. They just don't care.
Some say the war in Ukraine is a fight to save democracy.
Oh, bullshit.
But those who say that need to be honest with themselves. Ukraine is far from a shining example of democracy. And while the strain of war...
Now, didn't they cancel their election, by the way? I believe they canceled their election because of this war. So much for democracy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he brings that up, too, if you keep playing the clip. I'm pretty sure he brings that up as well.
Okay. Hang on.
He can bring that up. He can bring that up all he wants. Congress can't do nothing to them. Congress has no enforcement authority. That would have to be found out. Then the DOJ would have to act against it. And they're not going to do it.
Well, I know that, but he's bringing it up to make a point that why are we giving money to and everybody, Republicans and Democrats, saying they're trying to save democracy when they're not even having a frickin' election. So that's what
he's
talking about.
We have to live with them when the war is over.
Go ahead, Bianchi.
You and I know that, and a handful of others, but the average people that hear that don't know what the heck they're talking about. And as long as don't nobody go to jail, then the average person is going to say that he was lying.
Well, yeah.
The only way you stop that is with constitutional amendments. Laws is not going to do it because Congress is not going to vote on a law that's going to curtail their activities when it's engaged in some corrupt stuff. They ain't going to do it.
No.
Yeah, it's corrupt that they won't even get this budget balanced because you have to look at all these federal workers that's not going to get paid. Not even the military personnel will get paid, but Congress and the Senate, they'll still get paid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they shouldn't.
Well, see, you know what it should be with Congress and the Senate? The states that they come from should pay their salary. It shouldn't be a federal salary. It should be paid by the states that they come from. And let's stop that crap.
Not a good point.
That's it. That's interesting.
Yeah. I never thought of that one. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I hadn't looked at that. And
yeah,
maybe that'll make them do their job for their people that they're supposed to be there for.
They should be term limited. Not only they should be term limited, but the bureaucrats and the people that work for the bureaucrats. Because here's the way it goes. If you got a child, a daughter that wants to get in to become part of the Secretary of State, she has to be recommended by a congressperson. So it's nepotism all up and down the tree. They should be termed to a certain period of time that they can hold that job, then they got to walk away from it.
I'm
just old country boy.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Donnie just old country boys. We can come up with a solution.
Yeah, we can do it. Nobody will listen to us, but we could come up with a solution.
For all the platitudes about America supporting democracy and making the world safe for democracy, the Woodrow Wilson advocates among us, the biggest recipient of American welfare, Ukraine, canceled its next presidential election. You're telling me we're sending $100 billion to a country that's not going to have elections? We're going to send $100 billion to a country that now has, what, a president for life? I say, oh, well, we could, but it's difficult. Does anybody remember the American Civil War, where 600,000 people died, and yet we didn't miss an election? They've canceled the presidential election. We should cancel our aid as a response. This is not the only concerning development in Ukraine. Despite Zelensky's charm offensive this week, his actions also deserve scrutiny. Citing national security concerns, Zelensky has banned Orthodox churches oriented towards the Russian Orthodox Church, and has ordered Ukrainian law enforcement to raid churches and arrest priests. He has banned the political opposition. How do you have a democracy if you're not going to have elections and you banned the opposition? He suspended 11 political parties, including the opposition Platform for Life, the second largest party in Ukraine's parliament and the one which held 44 seats. He has attacked free speech by banning opposition media and increasing his government's regulatory power over journalists. Hardly sounds democratic to me. Earlier this year, he signed into law a bill that allows Ukraine's State Broadcasting Council to regulate all media in Ukraine. The council can impose mandatory orders, fines, restrict content from search engines, and even outright suspend media outlets without a court decision. Hardly sounds very democrat to me. If you wish these actions that sound like the actions of authoritarian regime, if you suspect these do sound like an authoritarian regime, you're right. This past July, a Swiss intelligence report observed, quote, authoritarian traits in Zelensky as he tries to push the mayor of Kiev, Vitaly Klitschko, out of contention for Ukraine's 2024 presidential elections. Citing martial law, Zelensky stated that those elections will not take place. Martial law, no elections, banning opposition party. This is where your $100 billion has gone, and they're not done. We don't have the money. The money's being borrowed. We borrow the money from China to send it to Ukraine. In 2021, Zelensky fired multiple government officials, including his prime minister, for investigating a Ukraine oligarch who just happened to be a key backer of Zelensky's presidential campaign. The United States placed sanctions on this oligarch for his involvement in significant corruption, and earlier this month, he was finally arrested. Clearly, Ukraine and the regime are not paragons of democracy. But this is not just about what Ukraine is or is not with respect to government. This is about American interests and our national security. Every day this war continues is another spin of the roulette wheel with another chance of it stopping on Armageddon, and we are paying for the privilege. We cannot continue with business as usual. We cannot continue to put the needs of other countries above our own. We cannot save Ukraine by dooming the U.S. economy, and we certainly cannot save Ukraine by fighting a war with Russia. As we go further and further into debt, we become weaker. It's not just that this is not helping our national security. The very threat to our national security is our debt. The more we send money overseas, the more we deplete our munitions, the worse things get. No matter how sympathetic we are to the Ukrainian people, we must put the American people first. And to that end, I encourage my colleagues to oppose any effort to hold the federal government hostage for Ukraine funding. Thank you, Mr. President.
There you go. Pretty good, Grandpa.
Yep.
Pretty good. Let me go back to the switchboard, see how many, if any. Oh, we do. We have, could be Sarge. I don't know. 336. You're on also. Joe.
Joe,
how you doing, Joseph?
All right. Yeah. You got the first part right.
Well, I said Sarge. I said could be Sarge. The 336. I didn't know what.
And I'm going to acknowledge that you are indeed spot on.
Oh.
It's Warren.
Afternoon.
You know, another thing.
Go ahead, sir.
You know, as money that they've sent to the Ukraine, Putin's getting some of that money also. I bet you a dime to a donut.
I bet you know.
Putin has had opportunity to disassemble an Abrams tank and inspect it for what it has that theirs don't. All this stuff is going on. Putin is getting some of the money also.
Agreed with that.
They've got plenty of money. This government shut down. It's all big, fat lie. They're spending this. We got to worry about our debt deficit, $33 trillion. Who cares? They can't pay it off anyway. Even if you taxed everybody 100% for the next 150 years, nobody could pay off that debt. You wouldn't even pay off the interest on $33 trillion. There's not even that much money in the world. So what are they talking about? It's all
I know, but
lie.
But Joe, listening, well, I was a cinnamon earlier, and she explained about the dearth of artillery rounds for American soldiers, especially given the fact that right now it looks like these people are preparing to rush us headlong into a war with somebody, whether it's China or Russia or who knows who. I got to thinking to myself, now, you know, I mean, we know these people hate Americans. You know, we know they hate this country. They're letting us be invaded by 7 to 8 million illegal aliens. But you would think they would at least have a smidgen of concern for the soldiers who have to fight in their rotten, illegitimate, corrupt wars. And I'm telling you, man, there is nothing that I can think of that the average Snuffy needs more for indirect close support artillery than 105-millimeter howitzer ammo on 155-millimeter howitzer ammo. I can't think of anything more important, and that's what's missing. And by the way, Cinnamon, it ain't one-third. I've heard it was a half. But look, but another thing you said too earlier, Sonny, when you played that clip of those FBI agents,
right.
I mean, the FBI being involved in an insurrection. Now, this the person in that clip didn't allude to this directly, maybe did indirectly, but this fortifies my belief now more and more that that entire insurrection was instigated by those working on behalf of the Republican Party, I mean the Democratic Party, or at their direct instigation in order to forestall the previously announced objections to the electoral count. Nothing else makes sense. I mean, why would the President of the United States, after having offered them federal troops that would have prevented it, and realizing it was a possibility that the riot might have caused emergency procedures to be invoked to suspend all administrative rules and prevent a objection to the electoral count that will legitimize his objections, why would he do
Donald
it?
Trump.
Why
Donald
would he
Trump.
Do it? It doesn't make sense.
Donald Trump says Mark Milley, who led perhaps the most embarrassing moment in American history, was his grossly incompetent implementation of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, costing many lives, leaving behind hundreds of American citizens, and handing over billions of dollars of the finest military equipment ever made, will be leaving the military next week. This will be a time for all citizens of the USA to celebrate. This guy turned out to be a woke train wreck who, if the fake news reporting is correct, was actually dealing with China to give them a heads up on the thinking of the President of the United States. He says, right. Continues on to say, this is an act so egregious that in times gone by, the punishment would have been death. A war between China and the United States could have been the result of this treasonous act, to be continued. That's what he said.
But, Joe, they might have just nominated somebody for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff who's worse than Milley. This guy, Charles Q. Brown. They just nominated him. They just confirmed his nomination.
Is he black?
Huh?
What's that?
Is he black?
Yeah. He's the one that thinks there's too many white officers in the Air Force and in the Armed Forces generally, and actually said that he responded favorably to a report that wanted to reduce the number of white officers in the Armed Forces, not on the basis of their incompetence or their inability, but to obtain the magical goals of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Well, where is the outcry against it? I told you about a teacher who made
everybody scared.
Teacher made mention of a movie, Boys in the Hood, and the students complained to the school that she mentioned the word hood, and she got put on leave.
Yeah.
Everybody's scared to be called a racist. That term intimidates more people, particularly white people, than anything I've ever seen. It just puts them in a state of paralysis. They can't do any analysis. They're just paralyzed.
Well, Joe Gibson, I hate to tell you this, but I don't know where in the hell this group of white folks that we looking at today came from. Are they from planet Earth?
Oh, man, I tell you, it's astounding. They're playing around with something serious now, though, the armed forces. That's the most serious single job in the federal government and the most important, and now they want to fool around and ruin that, too. They're already well on the way to doing it. It's the most important single institution in the federal government.
It can't be too important because they don't really want to pay them. They're the
you got to remember, though.
People, they are the lowest paid of the federal employees. That $7.65 an hour, that is what a lot of our military people start at, enlisted military part at.
Actually, you can't pay them enough for what you asked them to do. It's not possible.
No.
Oh, believe me, I know I was in the military. So
I
know.
Adrienne's a vet. She knows. He knows.
So you can't pay him enough. And they, and remember, we got to talk about an army that could have to expand exponentially in times of war. And, you know, there's only going to be so much money for what they need to fight with, what they need to be fed, what they need to be clothed with, the beans, the bullets, logistics, everything that's going to go into it. And you certainly can't reduce their pay. So, you know, I guess that's one of the things they have in mind when they give them the amount. Look, that ain't enough. I was in a, my combined active duty and National Guard service was 23 years. And believe me, they didn't pay us enough for what they put us through. Believe me.
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
And they
no.
never will be able to.
Well, doomsday plane just casually strolling across the pond at a cool $159,525 per hour. Not anywhere near Air Force One. Mainstream articles tell people it's rare to see the E-48 in the sky, yet it's been in the air nearly every day and week since certain orders were given. Major CIC Trump order still ongoing. There's always at least one doomsday plane in the sky at all times, whether it's an E-48 or E-6. Wait, what about that, Sarge? Is that true that there's always an E-48 or E-6 in the sky?
Yeah, oh yeah, they keep that as a backup to the satellite systems. I mean, it used to be the main surveillance, overhead surveillance they had was those type of surveillance aircraft. Now they supplement the satellites because, you know, there are gaps in satellite coverage, even with geosynchronous satellites. So you got to have the aircraft to take care of the gaps in the coverage.
Well, these guys are the guys that are saying that these are the Trump orders that are still in effect from when he was president. Remember, we were talking about that. I was talking to somebody else the other night on the radio show about that.
Well, you know, China demonstrated its ability to take a satellite out of the sky, out of the geocentric orbit, years ago.
China cannot. It does not have the capability to touch our shores. They just can't. They'd never make it. We have a bullet. You know, Taiwan they can overrun, but even that, you know, I just don't see it happening. I just don't see China doing something suicidal like that. Their economy would crumble. I mean, it's insane.
Joe, the Chinese don't need to do that. You know why? Because when Biden came in office, what was one of the first things he dismantled? He dismantled the China Initiative, which Trump formed to look into the Chinese theft of American intellectual property and technology. One of the first things Joe Biden did was to dismantle it because he was doing really good work. And we know the man is wholly owned by the Chinese Communist Party. So they don't need to be able to reach the United States. They're going to dismantle us with the help of our own politicians.
Well, what's Ukraine doing in Canada? The distraction was the UN General Assembly, yet the Ukraine aircraft wasn't even there. It went to Joint Base Andrews. Now, remember earlier this week, the Russian aircraft near Stockholm, Sweden, when earlier that day, U.S. refueler was near the same region. Then later that day, U.S., German, and Polish military aircraft in the same region, all over Nord Stream pipeline. Then China was in Singapore, Australia in U.S. all day today, and Italy, which all those have been in U.S. daily and weekly since 50 U.S. Code 1550 put in place, and Executive Order 13912, 10 U.S. Code 13202. So I guess they're preparing for something. It says, please enlighten me how the world is not in a global operation right now. That's what he says.
Well, look, the United States military is much more powerful than China, even with all the woke crap going on. But here's the problem. When it comes to doing a regional war, they're going to have shorter supply lines. They're going to have, I mean, we got to bring stuff from overseas, from the continental United States, and from bases in Asia. And they've got the advantage in that respect. They got short supply lines, and everything they need is right there.
Something's going to happen, okay, that's going to be something that nobody can possibly know, or and they're going to leak it right as it's happening, and then you know, and they're going to leak different things of what's going to happen. So everybody's going to say, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and somebody's going to be right, and then it's going to be a global conflict. That's the only way they can divert this reset that they're planning. They have to do a reset because there's just too much money out there that can't be paid back. Everybody's in debt. All the countries are broke.
Well, you got to remember, that includes China. China's economy is in a free fall right now. It really is.
Yeah.
They're covering that up, but their economy is going in the toilet because all the real estate catastrophes they've had.
China is putting ICBM silos in different locations. Some are real and some are dummy. But, you know, another thing that they're doing, too, they're putting ports in West Africa right on the sea. What's going to happen there? Are they going to put are they putting missiles in those countries like a Cameroon or a Sierra Leone?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, one thing I know for certain, whatever is up, this presidency and this government is not preparing us for it other than to make us weaker and least able to be able to counter it. Whatever it is, this government is making us less able to deal with, whatever it is.
Yeah, that I agree with. You're right. And you're right again about China's economy, and they're keeping that hush-hush. And they are struggling big time. And if they push the button on doing anything, we can take China down just by their economy. We can take China down.
Well, yeah.
But that should have happened. That should have happened a long time ago with at least terrorists. But, you know, here's another thing. You got these Chinese nationals who are buying up agriculture land here in the United States. Anything that they grow and try to ship it back to China, they need to put an export tax on it.
No foreign country that don't allow you to own property in their country should be able to own property here.
Amen.
Especially if they're an adversary. You know, here in Louisiana,
where they are. If you can't own
the property
right
there. If they own the property,
you can't own property over there. You shouldn't be able to own property over here.
But technically, if they own it, right? Technically, if there was a war between us, we could tell them get the hell out of here. What are they going to do?
Oh no, we seize it. We seize it in case of a war. Yeah,
under the War Powers Act.
That.
That's it. Boom. You know.
No, I mean before the War Powers Act, we did that. I mean, we seized all the German assets in the United States and all the Japanese assets in the United States. There wasn't no War Powers Act, man.
Yeah, you're right. So you know. They just tell me, hey, you own land over here? Get the hell out of here.
No, they did the same thing in the United States, too. They seized the Ford plant. They make all them vehicles in Germany with the Ford plant. And what do you call it? I think they call it the Opel. Yeah, a Ford Opel plant. And the United States was bombing the hell out of them in the war.
Opel was Buick.
Yeah.
But it was Ford Opel. They had kind of like a consortium. And they were making vehicles jointly under the officers of Ford / Opel. And they were prime strategic targets for the American 8th Air Force. They bombed the hell out of those plants.
Unless General Motors sold it, Opel was General Motors at one time.
Well,
yeah.
Well, right here, this guy puts this, he sends this, right? He says, you want to read a beautiful read. He says, President-elect Trump, November 21st, 2016, to CNN reporters. It was like effing firing squad, one source said of the meeting. Trump started with CNN President Jeff Zucker and said, I hate your network. Everything at CNN is a liar, and you should be ashamed. And what has happened to CNN since then? They moved from their giant fancy building to a tiny old building in Atlanta. He says, what did CIC Trump just say a few days ago? We're going to make Atlanta great again. Who else is tired of lazy people saying nothing is happening? Tell them to get up their lazy bums and read what matters. What matters is everything CIC Trump has said. We have it all. We've caught them all. You know who said that first. You know, so he says, on January 21st, 2018, 9 days before he revoked Obama's executive order and signed Executive Order 13823 to keep Gitmo open. It's a beautiful strategic covert operation. That's what he said. And he's got a link right here. He put me, I'm not even going to click on it. Raid my house tomorrow morning.
That operation in Atlanta used to be belong to Ted Turner. That was
right.
Turner's network, remember? Right,
yeah.
George?
Yeah.
I think Trump is smart. I think he's been surrounded by the smartest businessmen in the world. His family's smart, and I think this has all been a big setup, you know? That's why he did what he did on January 6th. That's why cuz everyone couldn't figure out why is he allowing this to happen? Why is he suing them? You know, all these cases are going to court and he's not saying nothing. He was quiet for a long time, remember? And now he's just letting these people do what they're doing. You know, all these indictments and everything, you know, and I think it's all one big pull. I think that they're going to pull the rug out from underneath these people eventually, and the country's going to be in one big shock, and it's going to be go time. Either we're going to go the right way and restore this republic and restore lawful government, or we're going to go down to the pits of hell, and the economy's going to crash, and we'll have all these zombies walking around like Warrens out there and riots in the street and the BLMs, and, you know, and we'll let them take over. You know, I mean, you know, it's got to go either way. It just can't keep going the way it's going, right? We can all agree on that. It just can't keep going this way. It just, there's no way.
Well, Trump was one of the most prescient presidents I've ever seen. When he predicted that, okay, like was in Charlottesville, say if they come for the statues of Robert E. Lee and Longstreet and Stonewall Jackson today, they're going to come for George Washington and Abraham Lincoln tomorrow. And that's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. When he told the crowd it was going to happen to him, and then he stopped being so reliant on Russian gas, that's exactly what happened to him. That's exactly what happened to him. I mean, this guy was right about so many things. It's like he had a crystal ball. Well, not he had a crystal ball. All he had to do was be an astute observer of world politics, as he was, as he revealed himself to be back in the 80s when he was going on the Johnny Carson show talking about these very issues. NATO, China, and everything else.
Yeah, he did. He did. Even Oprah, when he was interviewed by Oprah back in the 90s, she wanted him actually to run for president. And he said the same thing he's saying today. And he was right then, and he's right now. I don't know if you all remember a lady from L.A. She interviewed on ABC, she interviewed celebrities, and she interviewed, her name was Rona Barrett. She interviewed Trump, and people wanted him to run for president back then. And he said the same thing, and that was back in the 80s, 70s and 80s.
Yeah. You know, our society today, you know, just look at our society. I mean, really, is it worth fighting for most of these people in this country when you think about it? Are there good people? Yeah, but a majority of these people, just go out to your shopping center or the local mall and just take a look around at these people. They're not worth it. I mean, look at these people. They don't care. They're rude. They're arrogant. Nobody cares about anybody else. I mean, they'll kill you because you take a parking space from them. I mean, these people are just nasty, you know? I mean, we need a good war, you know? These people need us. Suffer maybe, you know, I mean, I hate to say it because of the children, but you know, but even the children nowadays are growing up evil. By the time they hit 5 years old, they're trying to kill each other, you know. I mean, it's a crazy world. I mean, where are we heading here, you know? How do we fix this?
People don't change. People haven't changed. Human nature is still what it always has been since we've been in the cave. The problem is that they are disincentivizing the best aspect of human nature. That's why people are acting crazier now than they've ever been. They're disincentivizing what works to bring out the positive in human beings and to the advantage of the best parts of human nature.
Yeah.
Think of the immigrants used to come to this country. When immigrants used to come to this country, before we had a big welfare state, they knew the only thing they were getting was an opportunity. Then they worked their asses off, and most of them at least were able to sustain themselves. Many of them created prospering businesses that paid taxes and employed people and provided opportunity for lots of other people because they didn't have a welfare state and they knew they had to work. The incentives for proper human behavior were observed in the early part of the 20th century and the late 19th century. Today, what are we doing? We're literally giving away the store. Monthly stipends were just showing up. $500 a night hotel, iPhones, credit cards, free tickets to wherever you want to go in the United States. Who in the hell responds to that other than people who do not want to work?
Yeah.
Do a great deal. It's insane. And it's like this throughout this society today. Everything that is bad is being incentivized, and everything that is good is being disincentivized. Why are we surprised at the result?
Well,
I'll tell you one thing. You're talking about communication. People better get the old CB radio back out. And the ham radio.
Good idea.
Because your cell phones ain't going to work. Walkie-talkies.
No.
And 2-meter repeaters. Your cell phone's not going to work. Won't be no texting.
No, that'll shut that down.
Yep, you need some analog. Get a crystal radio or ham radio or something.
There
you need
go.
Some analog stuff. Now it's time to, you know, the digital stuff is great when you got everything, the infrastructure in place to make it work. But man, when everything goes apocalyptic, you know, and it gets to be like the end of the world as we know it, you better start going analog.
Analog's the only way to go.
That's right.
Can't stop you then.
That's right.
That is true. And I've got CB radios. I've got four of them. If you're in pretty soon, when everything hits the dust, it's going to be like, I'm going to sell
them
for 10 times their worth. 10 times
their worth. Get you some antennas and throw up. With ham radio, you can just take some plain wire and string it. And that'll do just well. And I'll tell you something else. We need to find some of them old vehicles that had points and coils.
Yeah.
This electronic stuff ain't going to work neither.
Battery points ignition, you're damn right.
Yeah, they'll shut that down. You're right, Bianchi. That's right.
Yeah, just think of what them guys in prison or war camps used to be able to. They could make a radio out of a crystal. Hey,
yeah.
A crystal, and make a radio that they could find perfect good reception. They could transmit through. They could set it up as a transmitter.
Yeah.
Damn right.
You're right about that. Now,
if you have to, let's just hope we don't have to. But I tell you what, these people with their insane environmental policies are making it increasingly likely that the very things we're talking about needing to do are going to have to be done.
Peace. Yeah.
All in the name of green energy.
I don't know who just brought this up about the statues, but here's what New York City just did.
We're not hearing anything, Don.
Yeah, we're not hearing anything.
You can't hear anything?
Yeah,
no.
That was me. I don't hear anything after you said, here's what New York City just did. We didn't hear work.
Shoot. I'll say again. Okay, I'll find it. I'll find it. I'll play it. Because you won't believe it.
Oh, I believe it. I saw that crazy woman. And it, I mean, they have this rote talking point method of speaking. It sounds like some bugged out academic, you know, academic speak they picked up when they were in university and college and smoking hookahs in the dorm rooms. You know,
mm-hmm.
a dynamic disrupted and reevaluating history for its oppression of the disadvantages. I mean, they talk like Marxists. Like they go like high Marxists.
Yeah.
It's depressing. And they all went to college, and that's where they learned how to speak this way. Just listen to her. If you play the person I think you're going to play, listen to her, the style of speech she does, because I heard her when she was speaking as a black woman, a light-skinned black woman wearing a pink suit. And, man, I swear, it was pure academic undergraduate speak. And it's so distinctive and disheartening.
When the states finally defeated Britain and they fled, to several places, one up to Canada, Nova Scotia. They took blacks with them. They went down into Caribbean. They fled to Haiti, Cuba. And now you can see why those people up there in New York was another place they fled, why they act as crazy as they do. Maybe those are the descendants. of the British stranglers. They didn't learn to speak that way back then, man. And back then, people learn how to speak. They had a proper education. They were frequently eloquent if they were reasonably well educated. They spoke with allusions from the Bible and all of that. You listen to speech and people back then, and the ones who were literate and could write letters, it's nothing like the way people speak today. Nothing. It's almost like a foreign language compared to the way people are speaking now.
Now let me try to play this again. Let me know if you can hear it.
Yes, my friends, you read that right.
Can you hear that?
Yep, hear it. That sounds like Benny Johnson.
Here we go.
New York City Council advances bid that could yank monuments honoring Washington, Jefferson, and Columbus. And Donald Trump warned us. He said they'd start tearing down these statues. I don't know what to tell you, man. You know, people talk about where this country is headed. I talk about civil war or civil strife, just whatever this culture war is evolving into. And I do not see how this nation can persist if they are systematically erasing this nation. Its borders are being destroyed. The economy is in chaos. And they're trying to erase our history and destroy the founding fathers. Here's thought. There are many of us who refuse to let that stuff go because these men, with their faults, came up with some pretty good ideas and did some pretty good stuff. But imagine you are the elite, the nobles, the landed gentry, and the rabble rebel. What would you do? I certainly don't believe that any monarch or autocrat in the world would appreciate something like that happening to them. And so those of the global elites who believe that they are better men and should be in control are certainly despising of the idea that a country like the United States could exist for, of, and by the people. And so that's why probably in like 1913 or whatever, centralized control overtook this country. And since then, it's been an erosion into an autocratic machine. It's run by intelligence agencies who don't tell you what they're doing or why they're doing it. I view this country more like a bank account, kind of like, or actually like a chicken coop, you put it that way. The intelligence agencies, they might argue that they're doing right by you. Sure. Let's be honest. Do I do right by my chickens?
All right. That's Tim Pool, by the way. Tim Pool. That New York City City Council is wanting to take down the Washington, Jefferson, and Columbus. It's amazing. They're trying to erase our past. And thank you, Jimmy and Anita. Anita sent me something. I got to play this because I promise if I can find it, I will play it. It's, what the hell is the name of it? It says The Truth. Let me get it up here. The Truth. Okay, you can't hear that. The Truth About White Slavery or the White Slave Trade. And she, Anita, is a beautiful, she said, I'm an ebony goddess. She is beautiful. So she wanted me to play this because, what did she say? You don't know. People don't know about how the Americans, the way Americans were traded, slaved. Hold on. Where in the hell? Hold on, Sentiment. Just hang on. Let me see if I can get this to play. Anita, I'm trying. Thank you, dear.
Well, while you're trying to get that in operation, I just like to say they're not just trying to erase our past. They're trying to erase the past in particular of the greatest American of all, without whom there would not be United States to be protesting by pulling down a statue out of Washington Square in New York. He was the greatest American, the one most responsible for the United States even existing, the single American most responsible. And they want to tear him down and eradicate him from American history, at least to the positive. The only memory they want of him to be is that is negative.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, let me know if you can't hear this. Anita, I can't play it all, but I'll play a part of it.
Hey guys, welcome back to another reaction video. Today's video, we're going to be learning more about slave trade, but this time it's the white slave trade from forgotten history. Without further ado, let's get to it. 10th Legion.
Okay, let me speed it up.
Slavery is as old as human civilization. Dating back beyond recorded history, and it exists even still today. Every culture on every continent practiced some form of slavery, whether it was serfdom, indentured servitude, or collective peasantry.
Indentured servitude.
However, when the slave trade is mentioned, people normally think of the black African slave trade to the Western Hemisphere. During the colonial period, from 1500 to the mid-1800s, as practiced by the European colonial powers, estimates range from 10 to 13 million Africans being brought to the New World, with around 10 million surviving to be sold in North and South America, as well as in the Caribbean islands. Of this number, the best estimate is that 450,000 went to the British, French, and Spanish colonies in what is now the United States and Caribbean. Brazil alone received almost 5 million, the rest going to the Spanish colonies in South America. Slavery still exists in the world, yet most of the major powers ignore the fact and refuse to even acknowledge that it still exists. It is still quite active. Yet, 6 decades before the American Civil War, a war was fought by the United States on foreign shores to try and stop the white slave trade. What was the white slave trade? Does it still exist? Who were the Barbary pirates? What was the result of American intervention? How did it occur, and what was the aftermath?
Okay, Sarah and Anita, both of you, thank you for sending this. I'll listen to it on my own time. People, you can get it on YouTube. It's called The Truth About White Slave Trade. And this lady's reaction. Thank you for sending that, though. I will definitely give it a listen. I appreciate it. Very much. Everybody that sends on my Twitter feed sends videos, I appreciate it. We gained another 130 people. We're up 24,800 and something. since last week. Yeah. Yeah. We should be over 50,000, but Twitter back in the day took a bunch of took about 30,000 followers away, and we're slow. They took it all the way down to 10,000. So in the last several months, we've been gaining them back. So we appreciate everybody, from the UAW listeners to people just like to listen about politics, especially Pianchi and Sarge and Joseph. Really appreciate it. Bring it, boy. Everybody add something.
Well, you know.
And
everybody.
My girl from the UAW, hold on. Adrian, she always adds something, even though I don't agree with her a lot of times. But.
That's right,
you don't.
Okay, dear. You don't have to get smart.
I love you too.
You got that right, baby. Grind on me. You know how it is. Go ahead, Bianchi. I'm sorry.
I accept my apologies too.
Go ahead, buddy.
I was going to say that these people talking about reparations for what happened to their ancestors.
Right.
Well, they owe those tribes that got rid of their ancestors for the harm that they caused them to be expelled.
Yeah.
A lot, not all. It's been going on for a long time.
Well, I think the folks that, the relatives of the folks that fought in the war to free everybody, I think they deserve some money too, don't you?
Yeah, you 350 some odd thousand white males, and men and boys.
Fighting for the North now. Some of those fighting for the Union.
That's right. I think they need a little bit of that money. They gave their family gave their lives up. So let me get 209 on. Let me if I can get it on. There you go. 209, you're on with us.
Good evening. Hello, Bianchi. Hello, Joe Gibson. Hello, Sarge. You all know who this is, okay? Okay, Sarge. We appreciate you, you know, when you came on Chewbacca's Black Experience, you know, for Grand Rising as well. And I want to greet myself to the host here of this platform, Solidarity, Pride, Strength, and Unity. Okay, first place, the biggest lie ever told was black people sold themselves into slavery is because you do not take into account of all of those in the African nations who stormed those ships that the Europeans, the Spanish, the British, the French, the Dutch, and the Portuguese, I believe, who were killed trying to free their loved ones. Now, as you know, Bianchi, just like I told you, Joe Gibson, just like I told you, Sarge, okay, is that the main thing that they did not want the slave to do on the plantation was free. Because if the slave starts reading, he starts realizing his condition. He starts realizing his condition, he will start rebelling. When he starts rebelling, he starts leaving, okay, just like Sister Harriet Tubman. How many times has she went on those trips with the Underground Railroad? And I do admit, okay, that there were those who were white who were against slavery, okay, that helped Sister Harriet Tubman. But how many times did she have to level her street sweeper, commonly referred to as a double barrel shotgun, to the brain dead Negroes who would sit up there and say, "Oh, Miss Harriet, we can't leave Master, he's been so good to us." And the sister would say, "Hey, man, check this out. You're either going to be free or you're going to be dead. You got like about 3 seconds to make up your mind." So I'm quite sure she had to kick a lot of those up.
Mr. Chewbacca.
Okay, please let me finish.
I sure was not talking about slavery, so why are you trying to take it there?
Okay, first place, Bianchi, you know, I was addressing the host, and if you would let me finish, okay? Okay,
well,
the reason being is because
well,
you got to look at how...
can you tell him the same thing?
Yeah.
We were talking about world events.
I didn't know who he was talking to. I am the host, and we weren't talking about that, but you're welcome to join the conversation, but it wasn't about slavery.
Okay, what's your conversation about?
Well, about where our country's going and who's leading it and, wherever you would like to take it. But
oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, I got
except
you. Okay,
for,
first
except
place.
For slavery.
Yeah.
The gentleman is allowing me to speak. Okay, where the country is heading right now in this current time of 2024, straight down the toilet, okay? A dude like Donald Trump, he belongs in jail. Biden, well, you know, the man is, what, 84, 85 years old. And you probably will see a surge of third-party candidates, you know, coming in at this time.
Can I ask you something? I would like to know why should Donald Trump be in jail?
Because he's a criminal. And
why?
Wait.
Don't call him a
yes.
You got to tell me what he did to go to jail. Don't just call him a name. Just tell me
what he did. Okay, sure, absolutely. Number one is the fervor of racism that he has incited in the country. You know, the Proud Boys and what have you.
Oh,
the
race
part in. Okay, hold it. And plus his edging on the insurrection, you know, of 2021, you know, where you guys have went to jail.
He did that. You don't think, the FBI, CIA, or anybody was in the crowd pushing this on? They were already marching to the Capitol before Donald Trump even got done speaking. Period.
Okay.
This is all a setup. You know that.
Okay.
You're smart enough to know that. Come on.
Okay, but however,
let me finish my statement,
and I will answer your question, Bianchi. Okay, with him being the chief executive officer. No, I'm not Ted Cruz. No, I'm not going to talk about Disneyland for 24 hours. That I'm not going to do. Okay, but with him being the chief executive of all the agencies of the executive branch, and it is the executive branch that enforces repeat the law, like the legislative branch creates the law and the judicial branch interprets the law. So therefore, with him, you know, storm the Capitol and what have you, the election was stolen or whatnot, it may or very well may have been. But the thing that he brought to the light that he's perpetuated, just like Dr. Claude Anderson had predicted 8 years ago, is racist white supremacy being at all-time high. Me personally, I could care less. Okay, now, what I mean by I could care less, just like what Malcolm X said, you know, protect yourself by any means necessary. I hate to see it go this way. I want to see black people be more self-sufficient, particularly on the continent of Africa, particularly here in the U.S. and in Europe, is because from Africa, all the raw materials that come from for your technology, your automobile manufacturing, okay, petroleum products, and what have you.
All right, thanks for the history lesson.
Pete Pianchi had a question.
Getting back.
Okay,
go ahead.
What's your question,
yeah, my Pianchi? Question. My question is this: how long you gonna? You ready to leave?
What do you mean? Am I ready to leave?
Yeah, you dropped in. Are you ready to leave now?
Okay, you have to be more specific. Leave what?
Leave the show.
No. If the host tells me, you know, to split, I'll do it. Not because you say it, not because Joe says it.
Well, hold on.
You know, the
hold
host,
on. Now,
the
now,
host
hold
is
on.
Welcome to call
hold
in my
on.
Show, and you know Pianchi and Joe, how we do the heat over there. But go ahead, host, okay?
Hey, thank you very much. I'm not just the host. Pianchi's a host. Sarge is a host. Lori-Ann, Cinnamon. Mm-hmm. Who else is on here? We're all they're here every week. They're also not just one. Oh,
okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Donnie, if I could pipe in for a minute, I'd like to say this.
We love
on behalf of Shabaka. I have gone on this show on several occasions now, and we have had spirited and heated debates, but he has always been civil. I gotta give him that. Always been rational, and he never made personal attacks. So I'm just adding. And I'm sure whatever he does, even though we're not going to agree with him, I am sure, in totality, I would like to note that he did not entirely dismiss the idea just moments ago that Donald Trump's claims of a stolen election, he didn't completely dismiss that. Did you hear what he just said?
Yes,
that it
I
may
did.
Have been stolen. Yes, yeah. This quote for Shabaka, I'm saying, he's a man of all good arguments. So I really like to hear what he's got to say.
There's hope.
Well, we're not gonna let our conversation be hijacked and railroaded and put on another track. So, Shabaka, being a host of this show, if what you said we heard, and you can leave now.
And by the way, Shabaka, I just like to remind you again, as I told you the other day, Donald Trump was acquitted formally by the United States Senate of the incitement to insurrection. In his second impeachment trial, he was formally acquitted.
Okay.
Don't get that.
All right. Well, that was a discussion you had on his show. But right now, thanks for dropping in, Shabaka. See you later.
Hey, Pianchi, don't you ever bring your sorry ass on my show. Fuck you, Pianchi.
I would hope that Shabaka stays. Because...
Oh, wait a minute. What did we say?
He left. He got the last word in. He had to call you a name and left. he went.
Although he's gone, it would take more man than what you are to do that, Shabaka. But
I think he just pulled his chain a little bit. He got a little pissed. But hey, what I got to tell you. Oh boy.
Hey, I don't know who this gentleman is. I don't know.
Wait, did you guys see what the United States Border Patrol did the other day at the Rio Grande? They were cutting the razor wire to let the illegals into the country. In other words, the razor wire was effective in keeping them out of the country or slowing them down enough so the Border Patrol could ensure they didn't get into the country. And they cut the wire to let them in.
Yeah.
Somebody ought to arrest them for destroying state property or something, and let's see what happens. They should have arrested those Border Patrol agents or whatever, and let's see what the court decided to do with it. I wish the state authorities had done it for obstructing what the state is trying to do to protect the sport.
Well, you're right. And what they did, what Governor Abbott did was double the razor wire now. He put it back out there, and it's double. And I don't know why these people weren't arrested. I have no idea.
But he's got to force the issue if they do it again. He's got to force the issue.
You're damn right he's got to.
Because there is a jurisdictional question here. I'd like to see it resolved.
I would, too. I would love that. But we'll see. We'll see. But he did double it. He put it back out there, and that's a plus for Abbott, because I think he's been sitting on the fence too long, and I think
well,
he should have
so bad
put
he's got
it. No,
everybody understands that now. I mean, Governor Abbott's confronted with a situation now that is so egregious. It is so blatant. Somebody's got to do something, man. This federal government is completely derelict in its duty. They've got to be forced to respond to this one way or the other. Let's get it on. It's time to get this on. This state of affairs cannot be allowed to continue. When even the rats are howling about it in these big cities, that just a few tens of thousands of migrants are coming there. These border states and cities have been putting up with this for the last 10 years at least.
Oh, yeah.
They get a little taste of it, and they say they're overwhelmed.
Yeah, and they don't like it. New York City, oh, hell no, they don't like it. And there's a town in Texas that is, we got something on the phone going on again.
It may be me. I wanted to say to everyone, good night. I've got to go. I've got some UAW members calling me, so I've got to go.
Okay, honey.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good luck, Adrian. Take care.
Thanks.
All right.
Have a good night. Good night.
That's the queen of the UAW right there, Adrian.
Make us all proud, Adrian. Make us all proud.
He does.
You go, girl.
Yeah. It's so overran, and this is a Democratic mayor. He said, Biden's got to do something. We cannot have this no more. And he has issued a state of emergency in his city. And it's terrible. They're just flowing. Just flowing over this damn thing. And if you've seen the tape, after they got rid of the razor wire, people started flowing into Texas in that area. And until they got that back put out. Now, I don't know who put the razor wire out there. I don't know, Sarge, if you know. I know that, but I don't know. I don't know. Was it the National Guard? I don't know who it was.
I think it was the guardsmen acting under state authority. It was military concertina wire. So it probably, or at least may have been put up by the National Guard.
Yeah.
But regardless, I'm just saying, if it was put up by the state and it wasn't put up by I doubt if it was put up by the federal government. I don't think the federal government put up any concertina wire in any jurisdiction. At best, they've got trolls and checkpoints, and that's it. I don't think they're putting up any barriers to intrusion. So it's probably put there by the state.
Yeah, it was put there by the state. I would imagine it was guard. I would imagine. Snoop Dogg has something to say. I don't know what it is.
I just want
to
say this real quick. Y'all know political shit. Ain't no fucking way in the world y'all can vote for Donald Trump when he come back up again. If y'all do vote for him, y'all some stupid motherfuckers. I'm saying that to y'all. And this punk motherfucker don't care. Don't vote for that nigga. Please don't. Look what he do. He just don't give a fuck. Y'all, honest, blue-collar, hard-working people and suffering. So if he don't care about y'all, he really don't give a fuck about us. So fuck him, too. Fuck everybody down with Donald Trump. I said he gets Snoop Dogg. Fuck him.
Wow. Okay, Snoop Dogg.
Now, Donnie, you know that Snoop Dogg smoking blunts and doing hookah, elite buddies in Hollywood and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Who was affected by the day-to-day economy. He wasn't worried about paying low gas prices. He wasn't worried about the low inflation rate of under 2%.
Yeah.
He wasn't worried about, you know, having $7,000 more per household in his pocket to spend as disposable income or income that needed to go toward essential. He didn't have to worry about a job or anything. He was all set. He's set, man. He's one of the elite. So of course he would think that Donald Trump would ruin their lives, when in fact the sort of government and country and environment that Donald Trump created pre-pandemic was almost ideal in the sense of what it did for the worker.
That is right. And is absolutely right. Damn right.
All those elitists, man, they just look down their nose and sneer at the hoi polloi because we don't know what's good for us. They do, though. They'll tell us what's good for us, even as we see it ain't good for us. And
that
tells how stupid we are for not yielding to their august wisdom and tolerance and forbearance and great compassion. We just don't know what's good for us because we won't accept what's bad for us as they see it.
That's right. That's right. These people, it's the money people. They got a wall around their damn house, but they don't want a wall around our house. They don't care. They got millions in the bank. It's a crazy. People listen to this crap. They listen to these people. It's insane. It's just insane. And how about Senator Menendez? How about this jerk? How about this? This is the second time this moron has been caught, and he got off the last time on a hung jury. I don't think he's going to get off this time. I really don't. They found gold bars, almost $500,000 in cash stuffed in different pockets of jackets and garments. And now, you know, he wanted to keep this woman. I think that's what it's all about. I think it's his bride he married has pushed him into something, and he got his fingers caught again. So, but they'll probably vote for him again like they did the last time. And don't forget, you know, he was coming up for election when he went to trial, and they put him back in. It was a close race, but they put him back in. So Democrats like to put in folks that are, got their hands in a cookie jar.
Well, you got to remember what happened back then, Donnie. Back then he was accused by federal prosecutors of using his influence to help this Florida eye doctor, pal, buddy of his, in exchange for gifts and campaign contributions. But the jury deadlocked, and it ended in a mistrial. But
that's right.
This judge just tossed 7 of the 18 charges that Menendez faced because they found that prosecutors did not establish an explicit buddy of his. So
that's
the remaining
right.
charges were dropped by prosecutors who said they wouldn't retry the case. Now, the judge Wall said he's guided by a 2016 U.S. Supreme Court ruling in the case against Bob McDonald. Remember the case that Jack Smith bungled? The Supreme Court nothing?
Yep. I forgot about that.
This ruling narrowed the definition of an official action making bribery and corruption cases against elected officials harder to prove. But that's why it's going to come back to boomerang and bite Menendez in the booty.
Oh, it's going to get him. But don't forget now, this eye doctor, I think he was from Georgia. I'm not positive. But he had a private
plane. He was from
Florida. Okay. He had a private plane, and they would fly to what? I don't know. I can't remember the country. They had very young prostitutes, like 12, 13 years old, running the streets, and it's legal. It's legal. And they got young boys. Well, they would fly to this country and hang out there for a week. And they said, we can't bust him on that because it's legal in that country. But they never did catch him with an underage person, but that's what they were thinking.
Thailand.
Yeah, that's it.
Well,
that's it.
What the Supreme Court said was that taking a meeting, talking to another official, or organizing an event no longer constitute official acts. That essentially was what the Supreme Court ruling in 2016 said. So, you know, what they're saying is that they're going to be able to bring that back in a new trial and evidence of the McDonald ruling and a prior mistrial. They'll be able to bring that up into the new charges against them in a new trial.
Okay, I got you.
I mean, I think it's like, even though it ain't relevant that he was previously charged in a separate and distinct case, which resulted in a mistrial, everybody would know that it would somehow find its way into the proceedings, and the average juror would expect that this case would be viable as a result of that knowledge.
All right.
So it's kind of interesting. And remember, Jack Smith had his hand in that one, remember?
Jack Smith,
and was slapped down by the Supreme Court in that McDonald case.
Now, if I remember, Jack Smith hasn't won anything. He takes all these things to trial and gets knocked down every time. So,
In major cases, it looked like,
don't see enough. Go ahead, Donnie.
No, you're fine. Go ahead, Bianchi.
No, what I was going to say is we have seen enough corruption from all across the board. You can't trust none of these people ever again. If they started and did 180 degrees, I wouldn't trust them because they've done what they're going to do and they will do it again in the future. You got to get rid of the whole cock and boodle. All of it.
All of it. All the, what'd you call it, crock and doodle or whatever in the hell you said?
Cock and boodle.
Yeah, but here's my question, Donnie. Here's my question. Did he give the big guy his 10%? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, he might have.
Well, yes. Like the money going to Ukraine. Oh, you know what else is going on? Now you got Ukrainian women showing up in the dating pages and in the online, you know where that leads to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Before we run out of time, we got about 18 minutes. Lorianne, what's on your show tomorrow night, dear? And quit eating.
Yes, sir.
All right. Go
I'm
ahead.
I'm not eating. I'm strolling and you know. Yeah, I have a great show lined up for tomorrow night. Special guest Valerie Serafin returns. We are going to be talking about Oregon's hearing that's been going on this past week on Measure 114, the gun control legislation that is hopefully the judge will find the entire thing is unconstitutional per our Oregon Constitution. So it should be a really great show. Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And so as usual, when I have a special guest, like the first hour, you know, or so with her, it's going to be more one-on-one discussion. And then after that, we'll open up the phone lines to do some Q&A with her comments while I have her on. And then also my show is going to the two-hour live format instead of the usual 3 hours now. So now I got to get used to the 2 hour live. And then of course the third hour will now be the bonus hour. So for affordability reasons, I, you know, downgraded from the gold package to the silver package and that just took effect. So everybody that's used to being able to call in before 9 p.m. Pacific or before midnight Eastern, you're going to have to call in before 8 p.m. now Pacific or 11 p.m. Eastern time in order to be included in that bonus third hour. Yeah.
So you're slumming like the rest of us is what you're saying.
Yeah, I got to slum it. But hey, you know, at least
you're
because,
on.
You know, I want to show you guys some appreciation, you and Bianchi, because because you helped donate toward the cause, between your two donations to me,
that paid for most, well, good like two-thirds of a deal with Blog Talk because my, you know, because I went to a free account before I could sign back up again under the silver plan. I got an offer for 30% off and plus 2 months free if I pay for a year up front. And so I'd been, you know, saving the money that you and Pianki both gave to me, and that helped paid for a good two-thirds of paying it for a year. And so I'm set for the year now. So I want to thank you. You know, that made it that like effectively like 23 something a month by getting the 2 months free and taking advantage of that package. So I want to thank you guys. I wanted to let you know that your donation to the cause to good use. I'm squared away for a year.
Well, I'm worried.
I'm
going
to say this, Lori.
And
if anybody go to give you some shit, you let me know. We gonna come and kick their ass.
Oh yeah, yeah. We don't put up with that. Lori Ann's a girl. One of the best shows on Blog Talk. We got to keep that going. And you got to tell me how you got a deal like that, Lori Ann. So I'm gonna copy your phone number down, and I'm gonna give you a call if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. You got my number. I got it,
Don,
because
they don't like you.
I know.
They don't like you.
They don't.
So I got it because in order to downgrade, I had to cancel premium services. I canceled the premium services, and so my account went to a free account for about a day, and then I got the message to, you know, upgrade now, you know, save 30%, you know, for 6 months.
Wow.
And so it's 30% off for 6 months, plus then I got, I got 2 months free. And so when you factor all that in, that equates to like $23.60 or some crap like that a month. Instead of $40. So yeah, it was a good deal.
That is a good deal. I'm gonna have to figure out how to get that deal. Every time I try to get a deal from Blog Talk, I get hosed. So I might not even try, but we'll see. We will see. But I'm glad,
especially after the last time and the fight that you had with them for for months.
Like Cinnamon said, they do not like me. And that's the truth. But we'll see. We'll see. I like to have that deal, though. That ain't a bad deal. But anyway, tomorrow night, 6 on the West, 9 on the East. Check it out. It's a great show. Really is enjoyable. And there. And I got a lot of emails from Convention of States. And we need to do another show, Pianki, about that, if you wouldn't mind. And Pianki's back to sleep or eating again, one or the other. But that's okay. We'll do a show about Convention of States. A lot of people don't know anything.
I'm allied with him in that effort, so I'll pass the word to him.
Okay, good. And definitely, I don't know. You all do about Convention of States. And so I learn when you guys are talking about it. So we'll do a show. Well, it won't be my show. It'll be your show. And you and Pianki can tell folks all about it. And I'll tell the UAW people because they were very interested in it also. They want to know about it. So many
read Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution, and that'll give you all the basics you need to know. It's a very short paragraph. It's like
14,
two paragraphs,
right?
Three clauses. You get all you need to know. You just read it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, people want to know how they go about it, how they get involved. Well, I know you guys can't hear that. so I don't know why the hell I'm trying to play it. See, on Chrome, it will not play, but if I go to the other Firefox, it plays. And Cinnamon said that Google and Chrome are in a fight.
Google. Chrome, no, Chrome is Google. Chrome is Google. Yeah.
But see, this is new stuff, you know, and it's
they're,
like,
you know, they're being sued, and so they're backing off on anything that anybody could turn around and sue them for.
Damn, this is news, though. You know, wouldn't think they would.
I know, but it could be copyright infringement. They're being under the gun all across the world, and each nation is putting a different idea of what copyright infringement is. And so now you really can't play anything.
All right.
So you can watch it yourself, but you can't play it on anything that would broadcast.
Right. Now, see if you can hear this now.
Democrats have launched a new attack ad.
Can you hear that?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
A video.
I hear.
Of a father whose daughter was seriously abused, becomes pregnant. And the doctor says, we'll go to prison if we do anything about it. And then a Republican congressman appears behind him and says, I'm watching you. I love this. And they have the hashtag, MAGA is watching you. Okay. Well, if in this election abortion is going to be a big issue, I want to break down some facts as it pertains to Ohio. I know the ad is talking about Pennsylvania and Ohio. They're targeting swing states, important Rust Belt states. Let me play for you this video. And you can watch it for yourself. Hashtag MAGA is watching you. Okay. And then we'll break down the current stats on abortion so you can better understand the reality of what the proposals are. Here we go.
I can't believe this. My daughter was raped.
Let's start it up. Sorry.
I can't believe this. My daughter was raped. And you're not going to do anything?
I'm sorry. They'll put us all in prison if we do the procedure.
He's right. I'm your Republican congressman. We've banned abortion. No exceptions.
She's just 12 years old. I'm not letting you destroy her life.
I won the last election, so it's my decision. I'm just going to watch your daughter and make sure she doesn't do anything illegal.
Oh, man, this is just so laughably bad. But hey, man, Democrats thrive on straw man arguments and manipulation in order to get elected. Don't get me wrong, uniparty Republicans, very much the same. But in this instance, we're talking about literal, logical arguments that need to be had on the issue of abortion as it pertains to these states, especially with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. So let's stress this again. First, I just want to say this. This ad, let me show you what the guy says. He says, the November 7th elections in PA and Ohio are the next battleground for reproductive rights. What you're about to see is happening to little girls and women all over our country. Watch the sequel to Republicans in Your Bedroom. Republicans watching your daughter. Okay, sure.
Wow.
I hope this is a parody, but I don't think it is because they're actually fundraising for Act Blue.
Sure. Wow, that's crazy. That's insane. That is some dirty pool, but that's how the Democrats do it, and they do it very well. And that is a fact.
Oh.
I'm your senator. I'm watching your daughter. Oh, come on, please. People are that stupid. Yeah. Unfortunately, yes.
By the way, Donnie, did you hear that the Russian reconnaissance patrol is alleged to have killed some German soldiers in a Leopard tank? They destroyed a Leopard tank, killed most of the crew except for the driver mechanic. And they were able to interrogate him before he died. And he gave the name of his unit, what they were doing there, and everything else. And
oh,
he was
really?
In the plane when he was killed. It's part of a completely German tank crew.
Wow.
I haven't confirmed it yet. But, you know, I that's pretty ironic that this is happening in September. And the height of Operation Barbarossa in 1941 was at the battle of Operation Barbarossa at the very height of September 1941.
You could breaking up, Sarge. Breaking up.
Oh, okay. How about that? How about this?
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of ironic to think this is coming out, if it is true, and I'm not saying that it is.
But boy, something. And you've seen these German swastikas, I can't even say it anymore.
Swastika.
Yes, on these soldiers in Ukraine. It's crazy. I mean,
well, the Azov Battalion is what they're referring to, that's heavily populated with people who apparently have fascist Nazi sympathizers. And every year, the Ukrainians hold a commemoration of the 14th Waffen-SS Galicia Division, which was a Ukrainian volunteer SS division for Hitler's Legion. And they hold, every year, they hold ceremonies commemorating it with reenactors wearing Waffen-SS uniforms that are historically accurate.
Damn.
So, I mean, that is a fact. That's what they do in Ukraine. You can look that up. You can look up commemorations of that particular unit. Ukrainian people. They do that every year. At least they were. I don't know if they've cut back on it since the war with Russia started.
I don't know. That's damn.
Look it up yourself again. It's the 14th Waffen-SS Galicia Division.
Wow. That's
and all that stuff about it in their presentation.
That's crazy. Oh, man.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, it's not like, you know, some of this stuff is a bit overblown. Some of it is absolutely accurate. And you got to be able to separate the wheat from the chaff about it. But
right.
As far as those historical reenactors for their historical legacy, that's not in dispute. Not all the Ukrainians, but a significant portion of the population. Because they were so, and you got to remember, a lot of them were really anti-Soviet, more so than they were necessarily pro-Nazi. But because
right.
They really hated Stalin and what Stalin had done to the Ukrainians with the Holodomor, and literally starved 4.5 to 5 million of them to death, and all of the repressions by the NKVD, and, you know, the taxation, the forced collectivization of gulags to the collectivized farms. So a lot of Ukrainians just hated the Soviets, no doubt about that. Just hated. And when the Germans, quote, liberated, unquote, significant parts of Western Ukraine, a lot of Ukrainians joined the SS to help defeat Stalin.
Damn. That's some good history right there. Some good history.
Because you got to remember, for one thing, you know, the SS still had to take second fiddle to the regular army, the HEER, H-E-E-R, when it came to getting recruits. So a lot of times when they couldn't get enough recruits, they looked to foreign, like the Dutch, like, you know, the Russians themselves, the former Russian prisoners of war, they'd allow to join some of their outfits. Belgian Walloonians had a very highly regarded SS division that was led by a guy named Leon de Grel. And Leon de Grel had a post-war career apologizing for the Nazi war effort during World War II. He achieved a fairly significant following in Europe, a wanted war criminal living in Argentina. But he was doing a lot of things, you know, that and Hitler called him one of his favorites, and he was a Belgian Walloonian. And, boy, I mean, they fought some epic battles for the Germans in World War II. They really fought some epic fights. I mean, wow. But they had a lot of these foreign legions they recruited, and like I said, this Ukrainian outfit was one of them.
Damn. Mm.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad it ain't wintertime. Boy, I've been standing outside. I would have been froze by now.
Man, you wouldn't want to have been in Russia, man. Oh,
Donnie, you know I have to reset my phone about 5 minutes to 10.
I just seen it. I seen your number pop up. Yeah.
You
I
know
forgot.
What? You talk about the swastika. Germans did not create that emblem. That emblem existed on the Church of Liubella in Ethiopia when it was built. It's on the windows.
It's called the Dungy Kung Fu.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
You know what, Donnie? Guess what, Donnie? Like what Bianca's saying, I got an even better one for you than that. The 45th National Guard Division, which is largely, well, not largely, but significantly composed of Indians, as well as Anglo, you know, whites and living in Oklahoma in that area. It's Oklahoma National Guard Division. Before the war, they were called the Thunderbirds. And on their patch, they had a swastika on their patch. Now, when the war started, you know, and the United States started to get, was getting closer edging the war, they had to change their patch and remove the swastika. And they adopted the symbol of the Thunderbird for the 45th Division. So we had an American National Guard Division that was wearing the Nazi swastika before World War II, and not that long before World War II, just like a few months before they changed the patch.
Jesus. I remember when I was a kid, you know, you could buy those at the store, and kids would wear them, you know, around their neck and big old German.
You mean the Iron Cross, maybe?
Yeah, the Iron Cross, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Nobody knew what the hell that was, what it meant. They were wearing it.
I remember when I was growing up, a lot of people, some of the more well-off kids, they had these radio-controlled airplanes. And one of them was the JU-87 Stuka. And they had the swastika. They weren't politically correct in the 60s. The swastika was prominently displayed like the actual German aircraft were on the vertical stabilized right there, you know, in front of the rudder. They had big swastikas on them and a big swastika where they would historically mount them. You know, you look at these video games now, a lot of them remove the swastika altogether and they put some sort of weird cross that the Germans never used in place of it as censorship.
Wow.
That
yeah.
Radio control. One of my friends' family's kind of well off. He had a radio control JU-87 Stuka, and it had all the swastikas. But they will not sell that stuff today, at least not to market it to you know, young people. They, you know, I mean, you know, adult modelers that do this stuff like really are deep into it historically and want to do everything absolutely historically correct. That obviously doesn't apply to them because they know where to get stuff to make it look the way it looked during the war years. But the stuff that's marketed to children, they take swastikas off everything. No, everything. Even
yeah.
In the video game.
Yeah. Now, Bianchi, you sent me something in the mail. I'm trying to find it. It was Benny Johnson. Where in the hell? Oh, there it is. I don't know if it'll play. About the Fed's cover-up, the chef's death at Obama's mansion. Can anybody play here? I guess that's a yes.
Yes, it's playing.
We have a situation here on Chappaquiddick.
There's been an accident.
A dead body holds a lot of secrets. Those can be the difference between guilt and innocence.
Are you saying that there's a possibility that maybe she didn't drown?
Someone call 911!
What's up, guys? It's your boy, Benny. Some breaking news out of the state of Florida here. Donald Trump's personal chef was found naked, drowned in the pool at Mar-a-Lago with a mysterious young woman who is not his wife. Donald Trump's personal chef was a proficient swimmer and a bodybuilder. He was somebody who is a fitness freak. The death was also witnessed by the Secret Service, who has now been covering up who all the witnesses were and obscuring all of the information from the public. Donald Trump has never been asked about this, and the press have absolutely no curiosity about the death of Donald Trump's personal chef on Donald Trump's property. Do you think that would fly? Really? Or, I mean, legitimately, do you think that would fly? If that happened, of course, we would cover it in breathless terms on this program. I'd be calling and trying to figure out what the hell happened. But that did actually happen is just swap the names. A president, it's just a different president, a guy named Barack Obama, had his personal chef drown. The guy was allegedly naked because according to the police report, which we now have, and I'm going to go through it line by line, you're going to see all these mysterious things, these crazy stuff inside of the police report. All this stuff that doesn't make sense, okay? It is our obligation to ask questions. And I'm going to go through this police report. It was just released today by Judicial Watch. And there are so many things that absolutely don't make any sense to me. Maybe there's a good explanation for them, but they don't. Right now, on paper, there's no good explanation for it. The question I have is, why is it just us? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Why is it just like small channels like ours that have any interest in this story? Why has no like corporate media reporter asked any questions about this? Why is it Judicial Watch that has to sue for these documents? Nobody has any curiosity about this? If this happened at Mar-a-Lago, we'd also consider it quite interesting. But I have a feeling the press would respond quite differently. We get headlines like this. Silence over drowning of Obama. Tafari Campbell, chef, sparks conspiracy theories, including his relationship with a 26-year-old unidentified woman who was witnessed at his death. So he's with a mysterious woman. That is strange thing number one. Strange thing number two is that they lied about where the Obamas were. They literally lied. They said they weren't on the island. They were, along with their daughters. All on the island. The official spokesperson said, nope, Obamas weren't there. They're hiding who the witness was. They're not explaining what actually happened to the guy. And they're not explaining how he was found in the condition he was found in. None of it makes any sense. And if you go and you actually do the work and you actually look into who Tafari Campbell was, who seems like a really nice guy and a father and a husband and also a great swimmer. Here he is bragging about how good – this is him. This is literally Tafari Campbell, deceased, RIP, swimming. These are his swimming lessons that he's taking. Why is he taking these lessons? Well, because he knew he wasn't a great swimmer. This is directly from his Instagram account. Tafari Campbell posted, I still can't swim, in the year 2017, knowing that he would have to get some swimming lessons. Apparently, he was self-aware that he wasn't a great swimmer. So Tafari Campbell went and took swimming lessons and then became a great swimmer. How does a guy like this fall off a paddleboard and drown? I don't understand it. And you'll never be able to see these images again because they locked his account. This is Tafari Campbell's account on Instagram. Why would they lock down his account? Again, doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense to me. Judicial Watch got, finally, the police reports and the Secret Service reports. And they show a cover-up by the Secret Service. Huge shout-out to Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch for uncovering all of this. We are going to show you the actual documents. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. We're going to show you the actual documents starting at the top. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So we start off with just pleasantries and niceties about the investigation back and forth with members of the Massachusetts State Police and the DA's office and the chief of police there in Martha's Vineyard. Then we get down to the Edwardstown Police Department incident report. So here we go. They list this as a possible drowning. That's what they initially list the death as, right? And then they immediately redact the name of the person who called in. Why? Because they're members of the Secret Service. So members of the Secret Service were the ones who observed this drowning. That is the first curious thing. So the Secret Service were clearly watching what was happening. Why did it take so long to find the body? Why did it take 24 hours to find the body at the bottom of this bay? If the Secret Service were watching all of this happen, why didn't somebody from the Secret Service go help? The Obamas weren't home. They were still on the island, but they weren't at the house, the physical house. Oh, and speaking of the Obamas' house, let's see. The incident took place at 79 Turkey Land Cove. Okay, 79 Turkey Land Cove. Keep that address in mind. Let's go ahead and search that on realtor.com. 79 Turkey Land Cove. Here it is. The home value is $16 million. Here is 79 Turkey Land Cove. This is the actual house. 79 Turkey Land Cove. Look at that. Big, beautiful. Oh, look, paddle boards. What do you know? Oh, look, a beach. What do you know? There is the private beach there. Here's this lavish home. Okay, now check this out. Obama House tour Barack Obama's new Martha's Vineyard mansion. Look familiar? LOL. It is the house. So 79 Turkey Lane Cove. This is the house. The Obamas have bragged about it, right, in these various publications. This is the house listed inside of the police report. There are 42 past incidents at Turkey Land Cove, 79 Turkey Land Cove. Why have there been 42 past incidents at Obama's house? What are they? I mean, 42 incidents, like, so law enforcement incidents, so like emergencies? What are these incidents? That's crazy. 42, have there been 42 police incidents at your house or any house that you know of? What the hell is going on? Here we go. Secret Service agent advanced swimmers unable to locate the party at the time. So the Secret Service and advanced swimmers were not able to find Tafari Campbell. Why?
Looking for blood pressure support? The best is the only option. Choose the brand doctors and pharmacists trust from the...
Why? If you go here and look at the Google Maps, here's the Obama's house, right? This is not a big area. Anyone who's any remotely a proficient swimmer would be able to swim through here. Not a huge area. 79 Turkey Lane Cove. Here you go. You could go out and you could rescue someone here. Now it wasn't just an individual. It was boats and planes and helicopters they had looking for this individual, Tafari Campbell. Don't make no sense. Secret Service member requested an ambulance in response. So the Secret Service agent obviously saw that there was a emergency because they requested an ambulance. Okay. So here we go down here. Narrative description. No life vest was worn. They have recovered the paddleboard and clothing. Still no contact with missing party. Again, this is where people ask the question, was he naked? Because it says that they uncovered his clothing. I mean, that's what the report says. So what do you want from me? They still have rescue swimmers in the area. The report goes on to detail that they used boats and they used all available resources, called in for all available resources to Barack Obama's house. They had helicopters. They had planes. They had boats. They had everything looking for the search, and they finally were able to find the body of Tafari Campbell using sonar. It was a little strange because I thought bodies floated, but, you know, I'm no mortician here, but I thought bodies floated, so I don't really understand that. But here's where it gets really, really weird. Why would they redact the name of the witness? So here's the persons who were involved, victim and witness. The witness is apparently a young girl. And Tafari Campbell, of course, here is the victim who drowned, who, again, we will note, was a proficient swimmer.
Now, Pianki has a conspiracy that it was Mrs. Obama. Still think that, Pianki?
Well, that he had an affair with, yes, I do think that. But you know better than that, where is his mama, his mother? Because early on in the tragedy, she said she wanted answers. Now, this is a black woman demanding answers, and all of a sudden she's quiet. Now, if this was Mike Brown, if it was Breonna Taylor, or if it was some other that has been notably in the news, it would be news cameras, press conferences, Sharpton, and everybody else would be there. But with this person and who it's involved with, tied with, everything is quiet.
I was thinking maybe it was a daughter, but 27 years old, that wouldn't be the daughter.
Yeah, I understand, but the thing is that his mother says she wanted answers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was in the paper.
And all of a sudden you don't hear a word out of anybody in that family.
You don't hear a word out of anything.
No, you're right about that. She shut up.
And, you know, the other 42 incidents was probably between Barack and Michelle. She's tired of him, especially if it's true about what he's involved in, And surely her mother wouldn't be going along with that type of any further than the 8 years that he was president. And she was taking trips with Michelle.
Yeah.
Michelle's probably trying to figure out how to get out of this mess.
Yeah.
Would that be nice if they, now, if they had a divorce, well, would she still be allowed Secret Service protection?
I don't know. I think so. But I don't know. Now, I know Donald Trump's ex-wife wasn't, she didn't have Secret Service. But
maybe
I don't
know. Joe Gibson Sarge know the answer to that question.
Maybe. Joe's
well, members of the president's immediate family are allowed permanent Secret Service protection, but a divorced wife is not a member of the president's immediate family anymore. I think under that reasoning, no, she would have to hire her own security. But given the amount of money she's got, she could afford first-rate security rather easily.
Right. Now, this house, you showed a picture inside. It is gorgeous. It's $16,783,000. Now, I'd like to know. Now, he's got this place. He's got a mansion in Hawaii, and I think he's got a house on the West Coast. I'm not positive.
Yeah, all where sea levels might rise. Isn't that curious?
Yeah.
Isn't that curious? Here's a guy who said that we're gonna make the ocean levels fall, and he's worried about that. And he's bought all of his properties are on seafront or lakefront. Gee, what a coinkydink, huh?
You know, as soon as he bought this place, they were talking about that. Isn't he worried about the sea level?
Do as I say, not as I do.
That's right. I'd like to know where in the hell he got all this money. I can't imagine how much this place in Hawaii costs, but this is almost $17 million. I mean, come on.
He had a Netflix contract. I mean, gee, come on.
No, is that what it was?
Yeah, easily. He had a show, him and old Michelle, right there on Netflix. Big success that was.
Yeah.
And it was a Netflix contract. And let's face it, Michelle's got a little sugar water she sold to kids in high school that's been exposed to have, that's supposed to be a real diabetes precursor.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
She got a lot of irons in her fire, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
A lot of irons to have all this money to buy all these nice mansions by the water, by the way.
Maybe Patrice Caloras is her financial consultant.
Well, Pianki, so you think the cook, which was... They say writing a book, a tell-all book about his life. Now, I don't know if that's true, but that's what they're saying. Now, if that's true, that might give the Obamas or somebody in that family reason enough to kill this man. Especially if, Pianki, you're right, if those two had... Fair.
You're absolutely right. Especially in the pages of the book, he has a photograph of her panties.
Well, obviously nothing we say is of direct evidence of this.
No.
But given the Obamas and their murky association and their really ragged history and everything they can see, remember, the first thing that guy did when he got off, one of his first executive orders would seal all of his records. And no federal employee would be allowed to release anything that had to do with him without running it through the White House first.
No, that's right.
So one of the first things he did, I wouldn't be surprised by anything Barack Obama and his minions and his associates would do.
You're right. He did seal everything. And in the day, he wrote a book. He wrote a book, and he said he was from, where in the hell did he say he was from?
He said he went to Columbia University, and Wayne Allen Root pretty much disproved all of that. They could not find one single individual from the school who said they interacted with someone as striking as Barack Obama would have, because God certainly stands out proud just for his height.
That's right. And
there weren't that many, you know, light-skinned black students in Columbia at the time, and no one seems to be able to put him physically at Columbia University at the time he claimed to be there.
Well, there's a professor that Wayne Allen Root went and talked to that he was, I forgot the class, but everybody that was going to be a lawyer had to take this class. And this professor went through his records, and he never had a student called Barack Obama or Barry Sotero, either one. He said, I don't remember anybody like that in my class. So,
you know what? If we had real investigative journalists who are objectively concerned with truth and fact, probably we found it out by now, but we don't. He's off limits. And we'll never be able to do it unless we get somebody in place who can access official records through subpoenas and decides to open an investigation into it.
No, I agree. I agree. And we'll never find out. And we already know about his mother and the thing she was up to. Marshall, I think, was his last name.
Frank Marshall Davis.
And Obama looks just like the guy. I mean, exactly like the guy.
Definitely have deep resemblance, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what's ironic about that, though, Donnie? If, in fact, Frank Marshall Davis was his father and he was born in the state of Hawaii, that makes him an Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, natural born citizen. Isn't that ironic?
Right. Yeah.
If that is true. He's a natural-born citizen, qualified to have been president.
Yep. That's right. And
so
he
to convince people that he was an exotic, the son of a Kenyan goat herder, and he could attach this romantic symbolism to it all, that he decided to get all these crazy white women, suburban women who were enthralled by that sort of thing in his clutches and get him to vote for him. So I think that was the reason for it, by presenting he was this marvelous exotic who just happened to chance upon the American dream. And therefore, you know, he created this mythology that his book publisher did. I've still got a copy of that damn thing. I keep it, I haul it out for everybody. Says nobody's ever said he was born in Kenya. Well, his publicist did, said he was born in Kenya, and said that he put in there what Barack Obama told him about his past. But then she said later on, oh, it was a mistake.
Yeah. And when he went to college, it wasn't Columbia, it was the other college he went to, he said he was a foreign exchange student from Kenya.
Yeah.
And, of course, they had those, those were all out, and then they froze that. Nobody can see that anymore.
Well, I maintain to you, Donnie, I don't know where he was born, because I'm not going to rely upon a counterfeit birth certificate that's clearly counterfeit. I don't believe, even if what is actually true is attested to on a birth certificate is true, I'm not going to rely on it because it's a counterfeit. If somebody gives you a counterfeit document, what are you supposed to believe?
No, you're right. What are you supposed to believe?
I mean, it is entirely possible every one of the facts attested to on the birth certificate is true, but the document is suspect simply because it's counterfeit.
It's counterfeit.
Without independent corroboration of every single fact, which is sorely lacking, you cannot believe anything on a counterfeit birth certificate.
That's right. That is right. That's right. And
people up here all of a sudden are cognitively dissonant, and they can't seem to connect these facts because they don't want to. They do not want an investigation into this matter. Shut up and accept the fact he was naturally born a United States citizen. Therefore, he's qualified under Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5. Don't you dare question it. He shall not be questioned. It's a done deal anyway. Republicans didn't question it, so shut up.
Yep.
That's it. That's what you're confronted with.
Party's over. You're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, when they were showing his mother in these nude photos with some other female on Frank Marshall Davis's couch is the same picture of Barack Obama when he was a kid with his white grandfather. They were both sitting on that same couch. It was the same damn thing. There was a lamp and, I mean, everything.
But they're saying that's not her, just someone that looks like her, because he was a pornographer in a pornographer channel. There just happened to be, coinky-dink, someone who just looked like her.
Yeah, just like her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how those things work, right?
Happens all the time. No, absolutely. Happens all the time with every president.
The history of the United States president, the biggest fraud, biggest cipher to ever infest the White House.
Well, I am not going to argue with that. That is right. No, I don't know where people.
You made a wonderful press release, though, all the stuff. Like you said, he once described himself pretty accurately. He said he was a blank slate. People can fill in what they want to about me. I'm content to allow myself to be whatever people wish to project onto.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paraphrasing, but he said something to that effect. But he did say he was like a tabula rasa, a blank slate.
You know.
Well,
they,
see, I voted for Barack Obama because he was black. And I wanted to see how it would be. But shit, after about a year and a half into it, I was ready to jump ship. Matter of fact, I did.
No, yeah. All I wanted
the plane to do was get within 20 feet of the ground. I'm bailing out.
Well, look here, guys. I had the good fortune to be in the Island Keys campaign and to observe him close up firsthand with all the lies, deceptions, and bullshit he came out with. And I knew right away he was utterly fraudulent. And I would never vote for him for anything. I mean, I saw him in the debates against Alan Keyes, and I knew what I was looking at. There was no doubt in my mind. He never fooled me for a microsecond. I can understand why he fooled a lot of people, because he's very glib. He presented a good appearance.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's easy to think that he might have been a man of substance. But believe me, that is the furthest thing from the truth.
What happened to Mr. Keyes, anyway? He, like, fell off the face of the earth.
I mean, he got disgusted by politics because what happened to the Illinois Republican with it and the collusion between the Illinois Democratic Party and the Illinois Republican Party was one of the most disgraceful things I've ever witnessed. It was like Barack Obama, they came upon a detente or an entente, you know, ENT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they did. They said, okay, for this cycle, we're gonna kind of backdoor support your guy. But next one, we got a guy we want to put up there. You're going to backdoor support him. And that guy went along with it. And they actually undercut Alan Keyes' campaign. It was the most astonishing thing I've ever seen. The chairwoman of the Illinois Republican Party was a woman named Judy Bartzpinka. And she was anti-Alan Keyes, anybody could possibly be. Alan Keyes' anti-homosexual agenda all the way. And Judy Bartzpinka was marching at homosexual pride parades back then.
Wow. Okay.
She didn't want to jeopardize that constituency.
I remember they interviewed some of his classmates, and it was a female. I don't remember her name right off the top, but she was interviewed by a couple podcasters. And she said that back in the day when they were in school in Hawaii, that Obama always came up with money and bought the weed. he was always the one that bought the weed. And it came, you know, they found out that he was actually taking care of some old men. And, you know, that's how he's getting his money. And she said, we all knew he was gay back then. And, yeah.
She was hustling older white men for money and other favors. Yeah. I remember that very well. They hushed her up real quick or ignored her.
Yeah, after she did a couple of interviews, you never heard another word from her.
Not a word.
Not a...
Just blackballer. Mainstream press stock blackballer. And by the way, the, you know, the, I mean, of course, it was Larry Sinclair, and he made a little bit more noise because he had a press conference, and he had some documentary evidence that would tend to lead you to believe that he was telling the truth. And he passed, I think he passed polygraph test. So they couldn't completely, excuse me, they couldn't completely ignore it.
Yeah, there was so much evidence. There was people in Chicago that said Rahm Emanuel and Barack Obama, or Barry, they called him Barry, would come to the gay bathhouse all the time. All the time. And they rented a house from a lady that was appointed, and I don't remember what president it was. Anyway, she was appointed, so her family moved to Washington, D.C., and they rented the house to Barack Obama, but there was cameras everywhere. There was just, there was security cameras everywhere, and they didn't know it, and she went, you know, back, I guess, in Washington, D.C., where she lived. The garages are detached, and they're in the back. So you have to leave the house and walk to the backyard and get, you know, get in the garage. She got in a garage, and a car blew up, and she was deader now. And all of a sudden, that house in Chicago, it was all taken care of, all of it. And the guy that was the head of the Board of Education in Chicago, they found him floating in the water dead. The choir leader, that his mother said that Barack Obama and his her son had a, you know, they were lovers. Well, he ended up dead. And that was in the church he was going to all the time. Well, not all the time, but, you know, with
that's the Clintons. That's the Clintons pulling them hips.
Boy, I tell you. I tell you, between Barack Obama and the Clintons, whoo, they got a list, don't they? They really do. They have, well, it'll take Barack Obama a long time to catch up with the Clintons. A lot, a long, long time. But they're trying. They're trying.
Do you remember all of the multiple stories about Barack Obama's Social Security numbers? He had multiple Social Security numbers.
Yes.
That came up in all kinds of checks, including the one he put on his tax return. And then they tried to explain it away. They didn't deny that it was a Social Security number because he had a Social Security number that was assigned to Connecticut. Which
Connecticut,
he never
right.
Resided. They never lived or resided. Then they explained it away by saying it was an accounting error because somebody, it was in another world between when they were assigning region-specific numbers, and then they stopped the practice, and then they started randomly assigning the number, and his Social Security number just happened to be issued somewhere in that nether region, and it just got messed up. It was improperly assigned.
I remember that, Connecticut, yes.
But he had more than one. He had a bunch of them.
Yeah, yeah.
That came up with that name at addresses that he is known to have lived at.
Uh-huh. Exactly. I remember that. Damn.
I think it's something like 14 or 20, which is probably his mother. His mother was a grifter, and she lived on welfare, and she was going around collecting Social Security checks. Because remember, his grandmother... His grandmother was a probate, worked in the probate department of a Hawaii bank. She had access to the Social Security numbers of dead people and others.
Yeah, that's true. And
she was probably handing them out to her daughter like party favors.
Didn't she work for the CIA?
Well, that's what's been said. I'm not absolutely sure about that, but it sounds credible.
Yeah, especially where she was positioned in this bank. Well, that makes a lot of sense then, why he would have all these Social Security numbers and the daughter collecting Social Security checks. That makes a lot of sense because the grandmother had access to all the dead people and their numbers.
Well, the one he used was actually issued on March 28, 1977, to someone who was living in Connecticut, born in 1890, that was long dead when he got Social Security number.
I'd be damned.
And Barack Obama was 15 years old when he got that Social Security number.
Damn. You are so right. I forgot all about that.
I mean, look, he should have had a Hawaii Social Security number like his half-sister Maya, starting with the number 575 or 576. He claimed he worked at Baskin-Robbins when he was 15. That would have required him to have a Social Security number. Instead, he had a number starting with 042, used for the exclusive use of Connecticut residents, which appeared on his 2009 tax return when he was president. Somebody did not remove the number. And from 1936 until June 2011, Social Security numbers were signed by the address on the SS-5 form that you would use when you apply for Social Security numbers. Now, under Obama, when he was president, the law was changed to randomize where the applicant was living when he applied. So somebody's lying somewhere, doesn't care about the truth and facts, and we've got no more investigative journalists today who would dig into it because they don't want to.
No. And the ones that did dig in, they discredit these people. They just destroy their careers.
I bet you it's probably one or two sources that know all this, and one would be Russia. And it might be Ukraine.
I bet you Donald Trump knows, and for whatever reason he's holding it close to the vest, I'm almost certain that he knows all about the Donald Trump. I'm sure he does.
Russia has the technology to tap into your phone where they are and everything else. So Putin probably knows about this. But, you know, here's another thing that was kept quiet. Well, you probably know it, Sort. Martin Luther King's mother was killed by a black man, a couple weeks or so after he was assassinated?
That's true.
What?
Remember,
wait.
A black woman stabbed him in the chest in New York, remember?
A black male killed his mother shortly after he was killed.
Well, I didn't know that.
But remember, a black woman stabbed him in the chest in Harlem in New York in the 1950s or early 1960s. Survived that attempt.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Then is another white woman that he probably was messing with, and her name is Joanne Gates. Now, when they was in Washington during his I Have a Dream speech, you can see her. She's up there on the podium, short-haired woman. And guess where she shows up here of late? In Tennessee with Jones and Pearson, after they got expelled from the Tennessee legislature. She's doing photo ops with him. The same woman.
Yep. Oh, man. Yep. Absolutely.
I mean, her and this other woman, I can't think of her name. Gloria. Her name is Gloria. She's a state rep, too. Vote Gloria is on her. You can find her on X or Twitter. But this Gates woman, I believe she was coaching them. Because you know that Barbara Lee out there in Oakland was, because, you know, her father was a former Black Panther. And she coached Jones from the Philippines. He's not black. Not American.
just to fill you in on that woman, in 1958, King was signing copies of the book Tri-George Freedom in an apartment store in Harlem when a mentally deranged black woman named Isola Curry, who thought that King was conspiring against her with communists. So he might not have conspired against her, but he was definitely doing stuff with communists. There's no doubt about that. She stabbed him in the chest with a letter opener, which almost cut his aorta. He got first aid by New York City cops, and he went to emergency surgery and survived and remained in the hospital for several weeks. And the woman that stabbed him was later found mentally incompetent to stand trial, and they put her in a mental institution for the rest of her life. But that happened in 1958.
I didn't even know any of this stuff.
Oh, there's so much about Martin Luther King I wish people would know. I mean, we talk about Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, all them other things all day long, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King, only thing you're allowed to talk about is hagiography. They don't want you to know anything else about anything that might be negative, controversial about him. They just want you to know the saintly side of the guy. And that's not a complete context of anyone.
No. I know they had proof. They say they have proof of him having multiple affairs.
They do. They do have it. Ralph Abernathy wrote a book about it. Remember? Ralph Abernathy. I might not get there with you. He wrote about Martin Luther King's horn dog way. And he was explicit about it. He didn't make any bones.
Wow.
So did that big mouth black professor. What's that guy? Michael Eric Dyson. He wrote a book about it. Well, this guy's a radical leftist progressive. He put all that stuff in his book about Martin Luther King's numerous extramarital affairs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Dyson. Yeah.
Yeah, so you got two people close to him. One was his associate, Ralph Abernathy, worked with him, you know, on many vital projects. And then you got Michael Eric Dyson, who's a leftist progressive historian. And, you know, and like I said, he wrote those things in there.
Yeah.
Well,
just,
who was in the hotel room while that woman was being raped? And he was in there, wasn't he? FBI supposed to have that information.
Yeah, the night before he got assassinated, he was involved with some women.
He's cheering it on.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, this doesn't make him necessarily an evil. I mean, look, he's a human being. He had failings like many great men
have. Oh, yeah.
But
it didn't bother
me. We're allowed to talk about them. Him, he's just
that's
all
right.
Women.
They don't talk about him. They talk about Trump being in the locker room talking about grabbing the woman by the coochie.
Yes.
We don't talk about
that's
all this stuff
deal.
With King.
Hush,
now,
hush
do we
money,
take his
payment.
Statue?
Yeah, hush.
You
want to
take Jefferson's statue down? You want to take Jefferson's statue down? Should we take his down? Hell, Sally Hemings went to France with Jefferson several times. If she was so concerned about her freedom, she could have ran off at any point. Right?
Right. Once she set foot on the soil of France, she could have claimed her freedom right there under French law.
But wait a minute. Wait a minute. So the same privilege that they was trying to say that Dred Scott had don't apply to Sally Hemings, too?
Well, I'll tell you, Sally Hemings, all she has to do is express her desire to be free, and French law would have freed her while she was on their soil. And it would have been anything Jefferson could have done to stop it. He was just a diplomat there. He couldn't change French law.
Damn. I'm getting a history lesson.
Sorry, that's why you and I are so hated.
Well, that's
true. Buy the party line. We just won't buy the party line.
Yeah, you too.
Oh, that's fine with me. I can't stand them either when they do that, when they want to be pretending like these things ain't true and they distort what we say. I can't stand them either. I'm just going to keep on what I know. And what I can back up by the historical record.
Yep. Damn. So many things. I need to learn.
Well, nobody can know everything. That's one thing I know. The more I learn, the more I know I need to know. I'll never learn everything I want to know before I die, so I'm just content with that. All you can do is learn as much as you can and try to share it with others. And frequently when you do, they share things with you that you don't know, or they point you in directions that you didn't realize existed.
Well, once you learn so much, then everything after that is nothing more than a continuing story, never-ending story.
Right.
That's continuing what it seems education. Like.
It's continuing education.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I think one of the greatest subjects, I think history in general is probably my favorite subject, and American history in particular. So, you know, I don't mind if it's good or bad as long as it's true, because none of that's going to change, even the bad history. It's not changed the fact that this is the greatest country God ever gave mankind. For all of its flaws, it's the greatest ever, probably the greatest that ever will be, because all these other countries that are emerging model themselves, at least in theory, on the United States. They all do it because they know nobody else came up with a better framework from which to create a country in a modern sense.
I agree.
No matter what flaws the framers and the founders may have had, being human like they were, I think they were the greatest assemblage of philosophers and political leaders ever to be assembled in one place at one time in the history of mankind. And this country is fortunate that they were there. It had to be almost a divine plan to have that many great minds in one place at one time that were actually able to communicate with each other in a great cause.
Yes, and get it done. And they got it done.
They got it done. Remember, 25 of the 56 signers meant god-awful ends or terrible fate.
Yes.
They put their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor on the line for an idea.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And they put everything on the line.
I have nothing but admiration for them. I don't care what their faults were, what sins they committed. I have nothing but, just like Frederick Douglass said, he said that the founders and framers were great men, great patriots who did enormous noble acts for mankind. That's what Frederick Douglass said, who had been a slave. And I agree with Frederick.
Yeah, he's right. And they're trying to tear him down.
At the same time, by the way, he was acknowledging that they didn't do everything right. He did both. I mean, in other words, the man had context for what he was saying. He put everything in context, the good and the bad. And he said the good far outweighed the bad. And that's what everybody should know. And I don't want them revising a damn thing. You can add to it all you want, but don't try to change what went down before it, because you wouldn't have any place to tear down nobody's damn statue if it hadn't been for the frame.
Hell, all those founders went through a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah,
look at Washington. His son came to him and said that he wanted to fight, and Washington was reluctant because of his only son. He ended up getting killed. No, he didn't get killed. He got a fever, and he died.
I think you got it mixed up with in someone else, because Washington never had any biological children.
I didn't think he did either.
No, he didn't. He didn't have any biological children.
That must have been Washington.
I think you're thinking about one of his nephews. I think one of his nephews either got wounded or died.
I think of his name.
I don't know.
And it might have been a nephew. And it might have been a nephew by marriage to, Mary.
Martha.
Martha, rather, yeah. A nephew by marriage, I think. But I know he didn't have any biological children. At least none of
them. Oh,
and they said,
he may have been sterile because he had a case of scarlet fever when he was young, and sometimes that happens.
And they said, old books that they found said that Washington was a stud. A stud.
Oh, yeah, he was an athlete. Everybody said he was a great dancer, he was a great horseman. He could trek for endless miles through the wilderness doing surveying work. He would raft the rivers. He hiked for days. Oh, no, he was definitely a very fit and very active man, when he was, particularly with the young man. But about most of his military career, even though he was middle-aged.
I forgot how tall he was, but they said he towered over people.
He'd be tall today.
About 6'4".
Yeah.
He'd be tall today. He definitely towered over the people at that age. Although the people in the Revolutionary era were not short. They ate well. They had good nutrition. I think the average height of the man during the Revolutionary War was about 5'9".
Well, that is.
So they weren't short. They weren't really short. I think the later immigrants made the average height of the Americans shorter because, you know, they were coming from areas that the nutrition wasn't as good and they didn't grow as big or as tall. But the American colonists ate well. They got plenty of food, lots of protein, and they were taller than their cousins in Europe, you know, the British cousins in Europe on average.
Yeah, they said that women swooned over George Washington.
He was this big, tall man who moved very well.
Yeah, they said he was a wonderful dancer. And
horseman.
Yeah, everything he did was...
river rafter, he could do it all.
Yeah. And... went back. He didn't want to be.
He was
pressed.
An ideal man then, and he would be an ideal man now, for sure.
I think I do think so.
He was an acceptable individual, and he had great ambition. Remember this: he had great ambition. He wanted to be a member of the British aristocracy in the sense that he wanted to become a British officer in the British regular army, and he kept being denied the opportunity. Now he attained high rank in the Virginia militia, true, but he wanted to be a regular British officer. But he never quite got accepted in that circle. He was always disappointed by that. So what's really interesting is that despite his great ambition, he would not betray the revolution when his own officers wanted to make him a king after the Revolutionary War. He wouldn't yield to it. He said, we will not betray the revolution. And as he implored his officers did not attempt to do that because Congress hadn't paid them. They'd broken all their promises to them. They were disgruntled. The army hadn't been paid. I mean, it was just god-awful. And it was George Washington who held it all together with the force of his personality and his character.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realized that there were a lot of people that wanted, that couldn't foresee actually, you know, a society that, and a country that gives up a monarchy, you know, and they wanted the monarchy. They didn't, you know, they were resistant to that change. And yeah, and you're right. George Washington was one of them that was steadfast in that, no, you know, we're not going to replace the monarchy with another monarchy, you know.
But not only that, it was clearly he was the natural choice to be the first president under the new Constitution after it was ratified. He was almost made president by sheer popular acclaim. The entire populace of the colonies, I mean the former colonies at that time, could not envision anyone else as the first president but George Washington. There was no one else who was even close. That was probably the biggest electoral landslide in American history. Decision to make him president.
Yeah, and I think John Adams came in second, and that's why John Adams was vice president, because,
yeah,
you know, he was basically second place when it came to favorability for who should be the president.
Yeah, and he had that big dispute with Jefferson over it, remember?
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty interesting stuff. You know, and look at how times have changed, you know. Now we have an acting president in the White House who selected a VP that had probably, that was among like the lowest of the low, you know, in polling numbers. You know what I mean? It's like, Harris was not popular. She was barely hanging in there in the presidential race. And so, my boy, if times changed. Back then, you didn't pick the lowest polling person, to be your VP choice. That would be unheard of if we were back in our founding days.
No, the number two vote getter of the electoral vote was the one who would be the vice president. And plus, you got to remember, too, Kamala Harris is not even a natural-born critic, God's sake. That's what really bugs me more than anything else. She's not even a natural-born citizen. Neither of her parents were citizens when she became an anchor baby in Oakland or San Diego, Sacramento, wherever the hell she was born. She was an anchor baby. Her parents were here legally. Don't misunderstand me. But neither of them were citizens when she was born. She's a 14th Amendment citizen, identical to Wong Kim Ark in the Wong Kim Ark 1898 case. Her constitutional status is identical to Wong Kim Ark. And the Supreme Court said that he was a citizen only because it was the 14th Amendment. His parents were lawfully in the country. And he was born in the United States. That's why he was a 14th citizen under the 14th Amendment, which, by the way, did not exist when Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 was ratified. And the 14th Amendment did not modify it or refer to it in any way, shape, form, or fashion. She is not eligible. I don't give a damn what they say. They say now until doomsday, because she was born a citizen, which is true. She was born a citizen. She was not naturally born a citizen. She's a citizen by virtue of a constitutional amendment. That's the reason she's a citizen. If it hadn't been passed, she would not even be a legal, she would be an illegal alien.
Whoa.
If the 14th Amendment had not been passed, or she would not have citizenship status, she would have the citizenship status of her father. If the 14th Amendment had not been passed, she would have the citizenship status of her father, according to law that existed at the time 14th Amendment was passed. So I don't want to hear this stuff. Until we get this in court and we get this heard by a competent court and have it finally adjudicated for what it's supposed to mean, I'm going to keep saying the same thing. They don't want to touch it. They don't want to adjudicate it. They don't want to have it heard. They like the state of affairs the way it is, ambiguous, and everybody able to say whatever they want.
There you go. I believe you're right. No doubt.
Like I said, Kamala Harris would not be a citizen were it not for the 14th Amendment. She would not be a citizen. She would be whatever citizenship her father was. Because that's the way they looked at it then before they passed the Cable Act in 1924. That's the way they looked at those things. She would not even be a citizen. We're supposed to believe she's eligible. Same thing with Vivek Ramaswamy, who I like, by the way. I like him, but he ain't eligible either. Nikki Haley is the same status as Kamala Harris. None of this is. I mean, we're just ignoring this. We have no thing to talk about Barack Obama if you believe his life story, if you believe who his father was. I don't even believe that necessarily.
No.
I don't know who his father was given his birth certificate. I said I don't believe anything that's on a birth certificate.
No.
I say it could be, could not be. I'm not going to rely on it. It was a counterfeit.
Yeah, it was proven it was a counterfeit. And if you bring it out and make people, say, this is my real birth certificate, like they did, and then you find out it's not a birth certificate at all, then you got a lot of doubts. Instead of putting a fire out, they just put gasoline on it. But then they shut up Alex Jones because he's the one that was really going after it and was actually going after it.
Actually, they just ignore it or they ridicule you if you bring it up. That's what they do.
They
deploy ridicule in polarization. And, disregard the issue entirely because no court will touch it. Not on the merits, anyway.
No.
So they dismiss the charges. They dismiss these cases for lack of what they call standing. That's the basis on which you dismiss. Not on the merits.
You know, Sarge, that was Martha Washington's remaining son, Jack. George Washington's stepson.
Okay, there you go.
That died of a fever.
There you go. You're right. Very good. Yeah.
I didn't know Martha Washington had a son. That's another.
You know,
year.
Another thing too. George Washington did not take a salary, did he?
No, I don't believe he did.
I don't know.
And Martha Washington Trump. Was a divorcee, I believe, or a widow. I can't remember which. She's been previously
Trump
married.
Didn't take a salary neither.
No. He took a dollar because he had to. He had to take a dollar of it, but the rest of it he gave to charity.
Yeah, he had to take a dollar.
Yeah, by law.
The soldiers was getting ready to the mutiny. Washington had a meeting with him, and he pulled out his glasses and talked about how old age has caught up to him where he can't hardly see. Then all the soldiers started crying.
Yep. And, no, but he said, use these words. I have grown somewhat blind in the service of my country. See, those words would grab them. You know? In other words, all the burdens he had to carry throughout the war years had prematurely aged him. And that's what really got to those men there, because they really adored the guy. I mean, it's impossible to overstate how much he was idolized by the men who served under him in his life. It is impossible for us today, being as cynical as we are about things, particularly about political leaders, it is impossible for us to understand the extent to which this man was idolized by his troops.
Well, they had to love him to go through what they did.
And had respect him. And they did, for the most part.
Oh, yeah. Because he went along. He went with them.
Valley Forge, all of those defeat after defeat after defeat after defeat or withdrawal. Please. Only through his force of character was he able to hold that army together and keep disintegrating. And it came perilously close to disintegrating before the Battle of Trenton and at Valley Forge.
Yeah. Just reading about Valley Forge, it's just incredible what they did.
Yeah, and like I said, his withdrawal from Manhattan Island, the British came within a hair of breadth of exterminating Continental Army. They almost caught it, except for a miraculous fog that appeared at the last minute that enabled him to slip away through the help of some really outstanding Massachusetts oarsmen who were fishermen and really expert at handling boats and able to handle them quietly. And his entire army was able to slip away in unbaptist fog that all of a sudden blew up out of nowhere. And through a brilliant, deceptive campaign, few troops that they left behind, they were able to fool the British into thinking they were still there, because the next day they were going to assault their encampment and annihilate them. They had plans to do that. They were waiting for daylight. And they slipped away in the night.
Makes you wonder.
You know, the battle that he led at Savannah, you know, the Haitians came over and fought with him under the leadership of Henry Christophe, who was a little drummer boy at the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They got a commemoration statue down in Miami for the Haitians. They came over and fought with Washington.
Great story, a book about the American Revolution that I recommend highly to any of you guys. And it's really a great book. It's called Almost a Miracle, The American Victory in a War of Independence by John Furley. It is outstanding. It details what a truly miraculous victory of the Americans in the American Revolution was. I mean, it's astounding. It's full of detail and historical recording and documentation. And boy, it makes you realize what a true miracle that victory was, man. Especially the Battle of Saratoga, which brought the French as the war on the side of the Americans. That was critical. And it was Benedict Arnold.
Yeah, the Iroquois.
It was Benedict Arnold who single-handedly won it for the American Revolution.
The Iroquois Indians fought with him, too. Then you had the Loyalists. Some of the Loyalists was black. They was promised their freedom. And that's how they ended up in Nova Scotia, the Caribbean, Haiti, Jamaica.
Yes, sir. Did you read what that Indian chief wrote about him or said about him when he witnessed what happened to George Washington during the Battle of Monongahela? Did you ever hear what that...
what did he say?
He said he witnessed him riding to and fro, rallying his men. Because remember, the commander, Braddock, had been killed. And George Washington had assumed command. And they were being really, you know, the Indians and the French troops were firing at Washington. He's upright on a horse, rallying his men, plugging them in critical points in the line where the line was being breached, moving all around the battlefield on horseback, elevated up high, rallying these guys who were faltering, putting them back there, bucking up their courage. And he said he was watching ball after ball coming his way, piercing his coat without hitting him. Like 7 balls went through the man's coat and did not hit him. And he said that man is destined to lead his people in a great battle and a great conflict one day. He predicted what George was going to do in the future.
And he was on a white horse, too, which was easy to be spotted. You know,
he was an officer. He had to use the horse to get from one end of the line. They didn't have radios. They didn't have field telephones. So he had to use the horse to get back and forth, you know, with a seat where he could see there were problems in the line. That's why the officers had horses, so they could move quickly back and forth along the line or reconstitute their men.
And if I remember correctly, that horse made it all the way through the war with George Washington.
Yeah.
And he took that horse back to his plantation.
Right.
Until, of course, the horse died. And what a gallant horse. Just think about how gallant this horse was. We talk about...
You sure he died? I thought he went on to become Mr. Ed.
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something. You know what's really astounding about horses? Think of how timid and nervous a horse is.
Oh,
but somehow they managed to train horses to be excellent cavalry mounts who will ride as they are told to do through shot, shell, and cannon fire. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the most amazing things I can think of. Cavalry horses are well-trained, and they pretty much don't bolt no matter what kind of noises they're exposed to. They just go ahead and do the way they've been trained. And we know they're nervous and skittish animals.
Yeah, they say
well,
a horse
you think,
has a really small brain. But I'll tell you what, I had a horse. And you can say what, they can say small brain and they're stupid. But I'll tell you what, my horse was pretty damn smart. Very smart. And he listened like a dog. And you could whistle and that horse would come running. And put the saddle on. I had a nice Western saddle. And I played Lone Ranger with my white horse. And the horse name was Whitey. And that was in Alabama back in the day.
My wife, we lived in Chicago. We had a horse that was dressage trained named Robbie. He was an old horse. He was on his last leg. But he was really well-trained, a really wonderful, docile, and gentle horse. And he actually seemed to enjoy doing dressage. He was dressage-trained. And we got him for a good, you know, a really good deal because he was old and he was on his last leg. But he was really good. And he was really good at doing dressage. He did little side steps and little pirouettes and all that. He really enjoyed it. I really liked that horse. He had such a wonderful temper.
Tell you what, my cousin treated Whitey like a bad dog. I mean, just treated him terrible. When my cousin was riding him down this like chunks of rocks everywhere. He was riding him down there. through there, and Whitey knocked him off somehow, and his foot hung up in the stirrup, and Whitey drug his ass, broke his arm in about four places. It just mangled the hell out of my cousin, and nobody felt bad, and nobody did anything to Whitey, because that Steve deserved every damn bruise he got, every broken bone he received. And, you know, usually you could tell Whitey to stop, and he would stop. And I guess he was screaming for that Whitey to, oh, hell no. I got you where I want you, buddy. All
man.
The time you bit me, all the time you whipped me, I'm going to show you something. He never did that in front of me. I just heard about it.
Did you ever see,
well, I tell you what,
see the tricks that Roy Rogers and his horse Trigger do on YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
That horse was so well trained and so responsive. Enjoy watching.
Yeah, that was a smart ass horse, boy.
Yeah,
and
man.
And him stuff, and he's in the Roy Rogers museum.
Museum, yeah.
Yeah. There is, and
well, you know, you talk about battles. It must have been something else when the leader told them to lower the cannons down at level, have a cannonball come through and tear your leg off.
Oh yeah. Oh
well,
man.
Think about the light brigade charging those Russian cannon in the Crimea. They got those horses to charge cannon fire, and they didn't stray from the attempt. The only thing that would make horses bolt and not go where they were told was when they would form infantry squares, you know, like at Waterloo. They get these British units, they draw up in squares, and they put their bayonets in the ground like pikes. And the horses would charge up, and when they saw the bayonets, they would pull up. They wouldn't attack, raise bayonets. They had enough sense not to do that, so they would, the cavalry would have to circle them, either shooting into them or trying to stab them with their lances as they would circle the infantry square. They couldn't break the infantry square with horses alone.
And let's not, there's one thing a horse they did back in the day was they would play dead with you. You could lay, the horse